radio today that I didn't want to forget before I called you. I was listening to a computer show, and somebody called in and asked she asked him about his two computers, and she said she heard one would be faster because of a butt in the front. anyway, I thought you'd get a kick out of that. I'll talk to you later.
Once in the games, he said he dies playing
space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to win the games until it dies playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games are more entertaining radio.
And we're back!
Nice. This is episode 53 of Games and More Entertainment Radio. I'm C4.
I'm Kobar.
Odom.
See, and he didn't fuck it up like Ode does.
You've got... Paying attention.
Huh?
Paying attention.
That's right. On the ball. You even supplied all the notes for today.
Yes, sir.
Which is awesome, because once again, somehow, it didn't come together. And I blame Kobar. Because I was getting busy, I had it going on, I had magazines and websites and all kinds of shit ready, and then we went to lunch. Like right when I got started on getting stuff together, so.
Yeah, I'll take the blame.
That's right. But that was cool too, and awesomely enough, we came back and you had all the notes done, which is sweet. So the first thing that I wanted to say though, because Ode called me on this last week when we were or was it the week before? Whatever the hell week we did. EverQuest. No, it was last week, right?
Yeah,
EverQuest and World of Warcraft. And remember I was reading off the list of stuff, and I said that there was a ranger? And he goes, no, there's no ranger. And then he was going to look it up, and then somehow we forgot. I went, look, there's no ranger. So I must have, I just like had it.
In which one?
World of Warcraft. There's like a, whatever, oh, I don't even know now.
The hunter.
Yeah, right. And I said that there was a ranger. But there is no ranger, so I must have just like made it up because I wanted one real bad or something, or I was thinking about something else. I had both sides open side by side and was writing notes down, so I probably got kind of screwed up in there somewhere. At least on that part, I know. Everything else seemed okay. But I didn't have a chance to edit it out before I put the show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to it, and I thought, oh, crap. So I went and checked. There is no ranger on World of Warcraft. So don't get your hopes up. I screwed up once again. Now, I didn't really have anything else. So, Big game coming out soon, and I guess, wait a minute, hold on. We're going to have one more show between this, aren't we? So hopefully we'll find out more about it. Is Doom 3.
Yeah.
The behemoth.
Hopefully.
Yeah, let's hope it doesn't.
Well, either way, it's behemoth, but...
Yeah. This is going to be huge. This is like, it's like Half-Life 2, you know?
It feels like they're hiding something, though.
Yes, totally.
There's not a whole lot of real good video.
They show a video of a lot of the scenes and a lot of the, you know, like what's going on, but never any gameplay.
Yeah.
Which is what you wrote down here in the thing. Is there any gameplay footage at all? We went and we looked for footage. And the only thing that I could find was stuff that was, like, in the background. Like, they went to id Software's office and they showed, you know, they were interviewing Carmack or whatever, and somebody's playing it in the background.
Yeah, it's the stuff that they showed in E3 2002.
Mm-hmm. Some of it was real old.
You know, you just gotta really wonder, like, what are they doing? You know, the game's gonna be released in just slightly over a week, and there's no gameplay footage. Usually they got the developers pump that stuff out, like, months in advance. And all we have on this one is, like, shots of the camera panning around these environments and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's the shots of things busting out the walls and stuff. But none of that, your guy's there. You don't see his gun, you don't see your hit points and all that crap. One thing I did notice, though, in the little bit of footage that we did see that was gameplay, was the blood splashing across your guy's face, or helmet, or whatever.
Yeah, which is always a nice touch.
It was cool. It did look pretty good. It didn't stay there very long, either, so it didn't get in the way. You know, it didn't, like, give you some retarded, like, drip effect that looked stupid. You know,
you
it
don't
was
want
just, like, a flash.
Six layers of blood on your visor by the time you're done with the level.
Although it would be kind of cool if every so often he just wiped his hand across it and wiped it off, you know?
Pull out a squeegee.
That would be kind of neat. Just once. Just like a joke, though. Just in the middle of the game, he's all... cleans off his visor or some shit. But see, now, I've seen video, and it didn't look like you were wearing a helmet.
Hey, the guy, it doesn't look like the Doom guy has his helmet.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is that?
See, which I think is kind of dumb, because I don't like having a face to identify my Doom guy with.
Yeah, you like to think it's you.
Yeah, and I'm the guy with the green suit and the white helmet, you know,
yeah.
With the shiny sunglass visor thing. But now they got like a face on him and stuff, and they showed, we saw some footage of what was like a training mode kind of thing. You know how like in Halo and all this other crap, like almost every game you buy now, you're in like a facility somewhere, or like a military base, and then there's like this voice on like the overhead that's talking to you, and it's like, okay, step through. They actually have that in this too. And whatever we were watching, we saw quite a few videos on Doom 3. They have that too when you started out. And you started out talking to some guy who was like, okay, there's a few things we gotta go over first. And he handed you like a piece of paper. Then like the next scene, they showed your guy walking around like a military base or something like that. Probably one of the, like on a ship, probably on your way to Mars or something, or maybe on a colony on Mars or whatever. Cruising around. I just thought that was a little generic. Every single game has that now.
Well, I'm wondering why a Doom game you need to be trained to play it.
You don't need to be trained on it, which is what I think. They should just throw you into it. They should just start up the story, and you guys are going about your day, and then they accidentally open the portal to hell. Which, mind you, this does not have anything to do with Doom 1 or Doom 2. It's as if they never happened.
Yeah, doesn't this one have something to do with, like, medical... engineering goes wrong.
It's that. Remember when you were opening the doors in some of the places before and it said UAC on it?
Yeah.
Remember in Doom 1 and Doom 2, you had all those doors and like it was written on the side of some walls, I think? You're back there. And they fucked up. It sounds like Half-Life 1, the beginning of that, where they're like doing this test and they're playing with shit and then all of a sudden, bad shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds just like that. They accidentally open a portal to hell. But it has... I kind of don't like the idea that it has nothing to do with Doom 1 or Doom 2. It's you have to like pretend that they didn't happen. So, goddamn it.
In all honesty, I mean, story is not exactly what you play these games for. Story is just there to kind of...
Particularly Doom, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, any of them. Story's just there to explain what you're doing.
Yeah, rather than, okay, well, you're in yet another level, you got to find the red, blue, and... yellow key.
Yeah, it's good to have some kind of tie together.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, story does not have to be real deep in an FPS.
Well, we don't know how deep the story is going to be in this, really, because we don't know if it's going to be all run and gun or not.
Yeah, which I'm hoping it is.
Which is exactly what I'm saying. I mean, if you're playing this game, you want it for the action. You're there to mow shit down. And if there's a bunch of story chopping up the action... it just doesn't work very well.
That's what happened to me with Return to Castle Wolfenstein. I got so used to just blowing shit up. It was so cool, and I was loving it. And then all of a sudden, like every other level, or maybe it was just every level, and I just didn't realize it, it would break for a minute and then show you some scene of some dudes in the White House or whatever talking and whatnot. And sure, it tried to help explain a little bit, but it almost seemed like it took me out of the game. Like they
right,
should just throw me
it
in the
breaks
next level.
The action.
And I should have got, like, a radio report of what was going on, you know, something like that. And like, if a major story event came up, pull me out of the game for a while, not just a little bit all the time.
Yeah.
Just take me out for a few minutes, three times, you know, and go through these major plot development. It just seemed like it would have been smoother that way, instead of just keep taking me out and having me watch these stiffs up in Washington tell me, you know, explain the situation. And then, here I am in the jungle, you know,
right.
And I gotta kill a million more things. But... The thing of it is, you know what, we were watching that video too. What was that, the TV thing? G4 Tech TV, whatever the hell it was?
Yeah, it was Icons, the thing that we were watching.
Okay, the show, yeah. And it was kind of neat because they did an interview with the guys at id, and they were talking about how that the people that are playing this game don't want... let's see, how do they explain it? Because we spend so much time and so much... you know, of our lives in this game, and it becomes such a major part of our life that we almost feel that we have, like, some kind of emotional attachment with the game and how they're trying to not fuck that up. And that's kind of what I'm worried. That's exactly where I am. I don't want them to screw this up because I remember Doom 1 and Doom 2 as if it was, like, my whole life,
mm-hmm.
you know, through, like, say, high school, you know, the last couple of years of high school, you know, because that was all I played. And that was all anybody played. And it was just, like, all these great, happy memories. And if they release a Doom 3, and if it sucks... that's going to, like, ruin everything that I had before.
Right.
You know, and that's going to suck. So I'm really hoping it's just kind of like, okay, maybe there's a whole lot of story and, you know, all this garbage in the beginning, but then they just throw me into hell and I got to go kill things, you know, and just mow shit down for days. Because that's what Doom is.
Yeah.
Doom isn't some story-based fucking thing. Doom is mowing down a room full of those guys throwing balls of fire at you, you know?
And that's what's good.
Mm-hmm. Also, they have all the original guns. Nobody cares. I thought it was cool.
Well, it's a good thing. I mean,
well, it's good, but how are we going to be using them? Are we going to be using them, you know, to blow up thousands of guys, or are we going to be using them to kill two guys and advance the story?
Well, I'm hoping that it's to kill thousands of guys. But see, that's exactly what it comes to, is when you said it before, we don't know. We simply don't know. And actually, you know what? Of all the footage we've seen, you notice there's not more than, like, two dudes there that you're fighting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen more than, like, five or six guys.
You guys, see, I haven't even seen that. I haven't seen more than two things at one time they were fighting. I have not seen, like, a room full of guys.
And 90% of it's just one.
Yeah, most of it's just one creature that looks really good, but it's just
one
creature.
But could you imagine? Well, I mean, whose computer could handle 20 dudes that look that good on your machine?
With an environment that nice, yeah, I don't know. And I didn't get, did anybody read anything about the sound in this game?
No.
I just know it's going to have 5.1 surround, right?
5.1 surround, okay, probably. That makes perfect sense.
It's a given at this point.
Yeah, right? It seems like almost every game, you know, kind of would. But I could have sworn I saw something that said that they didn't use any hardware for the sound. So, like, my sound card's useless. It's all, like, in the engine itself to run all of the sound in software.
Wow.
Is that a good idea?
That's a real bad idea performance-wise.
That's right.
You know? So, I don't know.
That adds just even more stress to a computer that's going to be stressed to the max.
Yeah.
The graphics alone are going to kick my machine's ass.
I'm worried about running it.
It's going to take away my computer's manhood big time.
It's somebody on IRC put it great. Judgment Day. This will be Judgment Day for your PC. This is what you're going to have to grade your machine against for a long time to come. And I remember it with it when Doom 3 came out also. Quake 3. And I was just like, oh my god, you know, this runs like crap. And I had to go out and get a whole slew of upgrades, and it ran fine, and I was happy for a long time, you know. Mm-hmm. But
that was the standard for quite a while.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, this is what they do best. Yep. This is what they do best, though, is make these awesome engines. I can't say much for their games, though. I didn't like any of the Quakes.
But why would their engine be sound software?
The sound engine?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
I don't know. I guess Carmack wanted full control. But you know what? We must trust in our Lord Carmack, because he does know all. So, I sure hope he's on the ball. And we know he is. When is he ever... Huh?
Possibly.
See, he hasn't let me down yet. The games
that doesn't mean he won't, though.
But the technology behind it is just masterful every time. And I actually kind of enjoyed Quake 3. I didn't like 1 and 2. But, you know, Quake 3, I thought, man, it was just a masterpiece. But I don't know. We're going to see what happens. I sure hope they don't let us down, though. I just want to run and gun. That's what I want. Just something I can just mow crap down. That'll be real nice. And then, when Half-Life 2 comes out, we can stop and do our whole story thing. You know? Stop and smell the roses. We can do all that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Moving along. So nobody wants to talk about Doom but me.
Well, I'm in a real wait-and-see attitude right now.
Not me.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in agreement with Koba on this one. I just know they're going to fuck it up. I mean, there's no developer makes a game and releases no gameplay footage if everything's just absolutely perfect. I mean, it's just... I don't understand why you wouldn't release gameplay footage.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I mean...
Maybe they feel there's enough hype already.
They don't need to.
Yeah. There's enough hype around it that they don't really need to do anything except for sit back and cash the check.
Is there any one person that plays games today that hasn't heard of Doom 3?
I seriously doubt it.
Every single person I know has heard about it. Whether they want to play it or not, they know about it. You know, so, but you know, you bring up an excellent point, though. Is we going to have a lot of story and not just blowing crap up, or what? I like the plenty of ammo, blood everywhere, bodies everywhere. I need that. It's been a long time.
The biggest thing that I'm worried about as far as my wait and see attitude is the top of the line computer even going to get its ass kicked by this? Because that happens. Sometimes game developers will send out a game that's just way too much for the technology at the time. There was a game, started with an N, you were a vampire hunter. It was quite a while ago.
Nocturne.
Nocturne. That game whooped the shit out of everything at
really?
The time.
I didn't know it. Huh.
It was just, I had a, at the time, I had a top-of-the-line machine. I had just bought my machine, and I put a lot of money into it. And my computer barely run this thing.
Jesus. Well, that we know that's what's going to happen with Doom 3. We know. You know, it's like, look at EverQuest 2. My laptop can't even run the video smooth of it, okay? That's how scary
this
is.
It's all rendered and...
Yeah, exactly. We're just playing a video, and it can't do that what? It can't do that right. It's seriously, like, it's all choppy and stuff. It's weird. So, I don't know. We're about to get our asses kicked. And I don't want to have to shell out all this money for upgrades.
I don't know. Maybe the new video cards that just came out are that good.
I don't think so.
I don't know, because I don't have one of the newest ones.
I'm not too impressed with the 5900s. I'm just not. And you know what? Actually, there was a hardware list for EverQuest 2, like of like your like video card list, you know? And they did have mine, or the Ultra version of mine, the 5900 Ultra, which I don't have. I got like the plain one.
Right.
Was listed on, under like the, like, oh, like above average one. So I'm hoping, you know, that I can keep pace with what I have now for like, God, I would hope 6 months to a year, just because I shelled out so much money for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the time, like 6 months ago or whenever that was, maybe a year ago now. Damn. Mo money. I'm gonna need two jobs to play Doom 3.
Right. Then you won't have any time to play it.
I know, exactly. You see how screwed up this is? Let's see. Somebody talk about Star Wars, because I don't want to. I don't like Star Wars.
Well, we've already touched on it once.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
He's got, Modem's got all kinds of stuff down here.
Well, basically, Knights of the Old Republic 2, The Sith Lords, and it's the sequel to KOTOR 1, obviously, and it's weird because BioWare isn't making it. Obsidian is, and Obsidian are the guys that, it was started by some guys from Black Isle.
It's the major people from Black Isle.
Yeah.
So, I'm not worried.
Well, now here's the thing, though. Why, I don't understand why LucasArts or whatever wouldn't go with BioWare. And it sounds like BioWare actually passed on making the sequel.
They had to. They're doing Jade Empire. They don't have time.
Aren't they working on something else, too? Jade Empire and that other one. The we mentioned it not last year, but the one before that.
Did we?
Yeah, there was another one they were working on also. So they've already got two games.
Yeah,
to work on.
Problem is they don't have time to do it, and so they pawned it off on this other company.
That's like guaranteed money, though.
Yeah, it's instant money. Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't put another one on hold and just work on this.
Well, they're pretty sure Jade Empire's going to do real well, too.
Yeah,
it is, but I don't know if it's going to do as good as Star Wars.
Yeah, I know. That's just
it's tough to
tell. KOTOR 1 was huge.
Well, sure it was, but I don't know if it was just because it was Star Wars.
Oh, no, it was supposed to be a great game. I didn't play it, but I kind
of
refused.
And there's tons of people that are just like you. They don't like Star Wars, they don't like the sci-fi,
yeah.
And so this is another route. It's the same type of game, but it's in feudal China, and it's...
Yeah, oh, I know. Yeah, Jade Empire sounds great, and I really want to play that. You know, but, like, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2, I don't care. I'm not going to play it, you know?
And I think it's good of BioWare to say, you know what, we don't have the time to make this good. We're going to give it to somebody
if
else.
If that's, in fact, what happened.
It might not be.
Yeah, but that's a solid bet, anyway.
But if it is, good for them, because that's important in a company to say, you know what...
We can't do this right.
We can't do it right, yeah. So we're not going to do it at all.
Right.
Yeah, but then they hand it off to guys who didn't make, they didn't make the environments, the characters, the dialogue, and they just don't really have a feel for it.
It's Black Isle, though.
Yeah, but have you seen the videos for this thing?
No.
Okay, it uses the engine...
Oh, you know what? We downloaded it, and then we forgot to watch it.
Okay, well, it uses the engine from the first one, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
They could get it out faster, which the engine in the first one was fine. I really don't have a problem with, like, the graphics or anything. But they somehow managed to make the graphics worse. And the animations are hella choppy. If you watch that video, it's disgusting, really.
We'll put the link up in the show notes of the video.
It's just, I don't know how you accomplish something like that.
How old is, or how far along are they, though?
Well... they were going to release it in January or February of 2005, but then they changed the date to say winter 2004.
Oh, God.
And now in an interview, the guy said, if all things keep going the way they're going, it's going to be December.
Jesus.
So, the game's pretty much done, but they released, they haven't released too much information on some of the characters. They're trying to get 40 or 50 hours of gameplay out of it, so that's not bad. It's just, I don't understand how you manage to make the animations worse when it's using the same engine and everything.
Yeah, really.
The problem is the hour count, especially on RPGs, are blown up on the box. Whatever the developer says, you gotta work real hard to get that many hours out of that game.
Yeah, you do. Always. You have to, like, do everything possible. And you know who the best example I can think of is Hunter. That guy will play something like Baldur's Gate 2. One of the biggest games, I loved it, right? I played the crap out of it, and I've seen so much, and Hunter's like, oh, I beat it in, like, 5 days. You know, it's because he finds, like, the shortest point, you know, between start and finish, and somehow, every time, just manages to get right there. Temple of Elemental Evil, I swear to God, like, he's like, oh, yeah, I picked this up today. I call him the next day, and he's like, oh, I beat that piece of shit. I was like, dude, what the fuck? There's not even that many hours between when I last talked to you, you know?
Yeah, so if they're saying 50 hours, that means the story's probably going to be about 30.
Yeah, that's what I would say, too. Unless you really go through it and try to find everything. There's no way.
Yeah, but, yeah, pretty much, yeah. So, I don't know, I'm worried about that one.
Yeah, I know, it sounds like they might have dropped the ball.
They can't screw it up too much, though. I played KOTOR, and it was a very decent game.
But if it's not made by the same people...
Yeah, see, like, it's taking place 5 years after the first one.
Uh-huh.
So there's going to be cameos from the other characters. And it's like, the first one did a good job on the... Each character had a little side story, and you could go through that, and you could kind of learn more about the characters. And it's actually one of the only American RPGs that I've played where you actually start to care about the character's stories and stuff. Because American RPGs, usually, they're more gameplay-oriented.
Yeah, it seems like you're way into the stats and the numbers and stuff, huh?
Yeah. So there's going to be cameos by characters from the first one, but they were like, you know, this is our game, we want our own characters and stuff like that. And it's just like, as soon as you start getting attached to these characters, they're just like, okay, it's 5 years later, and we're going to have our own, and a lot of the main characters in the first one might have died. And that's all they said about it.
Well, you know, I think that's good, because in RPG, the whole point is building up your power. You don't want to start at the top and then work even higher.
Yeah.
I mean, so what are you going to do? You're going to play the same people over again, and then you're going to be, like...
It's like the expansion pack thing. You notice, look in Baldur's Gate, you get an expansion pack for it, right? After Baldur's Gate 2, they came out with that Throne of Ball.
Yeah.
Right? Have you tried to go through that dungeon? They basically made it impossible to go through. So after you went through that, like, 100 hours of playing this game, and you're just loving it, and your guys just can kill anything, all of a sudden you're in this place now where everything just beats your ass. It's like it's too far. They, like, broke the rules to make it kick your ass. And that kind of sucks, because you can't play a game like that.
Right.
You know? That's what I would feel like if I was trying to play this and I started out fat.
Right.
You know, oh, I've got all the crap from the first game I didn't play. Cool, I can go whoop everything's ass. And then you're just fighting stuff that just is way too powerful because you would have all these skills and all these abilities and no idea how to use them because you didn't acquire them at a time and learn to use them. You know?
But if I get Adventure with the same characters and they just reset all their levels to like 2 or 3 or something, I'd be willing to play that. I mean, their new characters, just they look bad.
Yeah.
That's like Jedi Outcast. They just, he gave up everything.
He went back to go with that, though, because, I mean, I don't know, these characters, they just look bad. And it really, the whole game feels like somebody took RPG Maker for the PlayStation and was like, you know, I think I want to make a nice The Old Republic sequel.
Damn. You know what? That's kind of what it does sound like, though, when they sit there and they tell us, oh, yeah, it's the same engine, it's going to be out in like a year and a half of development.
Yeah, and basically, it's a new story, which basically, if there's any Star Wars fans out there, they know it just defies everything that's basically been said about Star Wars. I mean, it's like, you're the last Jedi, and all these Sith are hunting you.
Hmm.
And you gotta, like, take down these Sith lords, and there's, like, between 1 and 10 of them, they said.
Between 1 and 10?
It sounds really boring.
Huh. I don't know about that.
And they've done basically nothing to the engine, but they said they upgraded it, but it looks like they've downgraded it. They've added new force powers and skills, and that's basically it. I mean, it honestly sounds like a fan game.
No, that's no good.
No, it's not.
Damn it. Well, at least I don't have to worry about it. What I want to see is a new Might and Magic, man. One that doesn't suck.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Like, well, like
the license is there, isn't it? They're,
Ubisoft bought it.
Yeah.
They bought it.
They gotta do something with it. They're not gonna spend the money to buy it and then not do anything
and
with it.
Sit on it, yeah. I know. I just
whether it's gonna be good or not is one thing, but they will use it. They might as well.
Yeah, it's like, I remember playing almost, not as far back as I can remember, but, like, as far as my gaming goes, but for 75% of it, I can recall there being a Might and Magic release. You know what I mean? Like, there was always something. It was like, oh, I can't wait till, you know, Might and Magic whatever comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard anything since that piece of crap 9 shipped, like, 2-3 years ago now. It was a long time ago. And it sucked. That's all I've been thinking about. Even earlier today. Remember, I brought it up somehow in conversation talking about Might and Magic. I want to play something like that. I want to play something good. And you know what looks good to me? GoldenEye, Rogue Agent. But I have a monster concern with this game. Have you seen anything on that at all?
I've heard they're making a GoldenEye sequel, and I haven't looked into it.
Which has a lot to live up to.
Yeah,
you slap the GoldenEye name on a game, and people are gonna have to be like, "Whoa, wait a minute! This game better be fat." You know, this is like Doom 3 right here. You know, this game better be fat because the original was so awesome.
You invoke a name like that, and you gotta come through, otherwise,
yeah. You know, you're going to really piss some people off. And now, I've watched the trailer for this thing over and over and over, and I'll tell you what, it looks like James Bond meets Doom. The trailer is nothing but Bond, or whoever the hell you play, I imagine you're Bond, mowing shit down.
Yeah, you're like straight up...
invincible. It's like, it's horrible. I mean, like, it looks good. The graphics are good. I mean, it looks smooth. The graphics are great. The enemies looked all right.
You don't look like very much of a spy, though.
Exactly. You look like Rambo. I was really pissed off when I saw that video. Like, it looks so cool at first, and then you go, wait a minute, this is supposed to be James Bond.
Yeah.
Where the hell's, like, all my gadgets, and where's the story, and where's something special happening here? And you weren't, like, creeping through, like, you know, some place and being sneaky. Like before. You know, now, you look like you're in these fairly large areas, you know, just blowing crap up. And you've got, like, monster guns, though.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
He wasn't using, like, his pistols. He was using them in one shot. But then they showed him with, like, miniguns or something, just blowing crap down.
Two of them.
Yeah, everything you could have two of.
And he's sitting there loading, like, without even touching the gun.
Yeah, with one hand, he'd throw it up in the air somehow. And
yeah.
I mean, it was just nuts. It looked like... this isn't GoldenEye. This isn't James Bond. You know, it looked good though. Like, the graphics look great.
Yeah, it could be a great game. Could be.
But that better be like...
they shouldn't have slapped that name on it though.
I think they should have released a different video, I guess, or something, unless that's all there is. I don't want that to be all there is, because I won't play that. There's no way. I'm not gonna sit there and play this Rambo game on my Xbox where I'm calling myself James Bond. I want all the cool gadgets and stuff. I want time bombs.
I'm sure they'll be gadgets.
Yeah, but they better not be, like, fast shit either. Better not be stuff you can use in the middle of all that. I mean, then you chuck your crazy little...
while you're shooting with the other hand.
Yeah, while you're still blowing shit away. Yeah, that's gonna be no good. So that's something I really wanted to keep an eye on, and any GoldenEye fans out there might want to go to whatever the hell the website is, pop it open in Google, if Google works for you. It didn't work for me all day yesterday.
I think they got it fixed, though.
They must have. It worked here, so.
So you're telling me there's a chance that the new GoldenEye James Bond game is going to be more run and gun than Doom 3?
The video that they released was, like, full bore. I mean, there was not one. There wasn't, like, a tenth of a second where he wasn't shooting.
Oh, yeah.
Even when you're reloading.
It looked like, because he'd be reloading one gun while he's shooting the other.
It was just nuts. Go hit up GameTrailers.com, and it's, like, on the front page still. It's not like...
007.
It's not, exactly. At least what they showed us wasn't.
Yeah.
And that's, like, bad idea to release that. I don't know who thought up, let's show this trailer with nothing but killing shit and nothing but gunfire. But that was, like, a real bad idea when you're trying to market a 007 game. So I'm praying that this was just some bad shit marketing here. You know, like, whoops! Oh, yeah, there's going to be more to this game than that. I forgot.
But even if there is, that means that that's going to be in the game.
I mean, yeah, there was a... I mean, that was nuts. It was like Doom 1 with a mod. You know how you had, like, the unlimited... Or not unlimited, but you could, instead of carrying, like, 400 rounds in your miniguns, they had all those, like, WAD files and all those crazy mods where you can carry, like, 1,000 rounds.
It looked like he had infinite ammo.
Yeah, I mean, it was that bad. It was just that much shooting and just random violence.
Which certainly has its place, but not in a spy game.
No, and especially if they're going to ruin the, not just 007 name, but the GoldenEye name. Which means more to me at this point than just slapping James Bond 007 on a game, because not all of them have been very good.
Not all of them?
You know, okay, not really any of them I like very much. That one was okay. Nightfire seemed alright.
I never played it, but I heard it was okay.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. I didn't play a whole lot of it, but I did have it, and I played it for a while. But it was nothing like GoldenEye was on the Nintendo 64. I could pick that up and play that today and still be one happy motherfucker.
Right, like I was saying before we started recording, whether you even liked FPSs or not, if you owned an N64, it was a must-own title.
That's right. Exactly. So that was something I wanted to bring up. And while I'm still talking, did anybody see that Halo 2 video, the trailer?
Well, I thought I wanted to download it. Something came up that I didn't get a chance to.
Did you see that modem? Did you see what I said about it on the forum?
I haven't had it.
Check this out. Okay, you watched the trailer that they supposedly showed at E3.
Oh, the beast thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right? They have...
I read what you said, but I didn't quite understand it.
They had this trailer they showed at, I guess, E3, and then they released it online, and they changed the end of it, right? So it shows the game and blah, 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 and then... At the very end, when it shows that big Xbox logo, you know what I'm talking about, the big green X, at the bottom it says www.xbox.com. And then they made it very obvious. Very obvious that it changes. Like, you could not watch that and not notice this unless you weren't looking. Where it says Xbox.com, it changes for, like, 2 frames. It's just all zoom, zoom, and it changes right back. And it changes to say ilovebees.com. Right? So you go to ilovebees.com, of course. And now you're looking at, like, what does it say, Margaret's House of Bees or some shit, and it's, like, this lady who lives in Fresno who has, like, a bee farm or something, and there's pictures of her and her cat and some friends of hers that came by, and, right, but then...
They got hacked.
The impression they give you is that the site got hacked, though. Like, but there's no way, because, okay, a site hack doesn't do that, alright, but they make it so that, like, your average person who's never seen a hacked site would think, oh, this site's been hacked, right?
Well, yeah, but they could... hack the video and then alter it and then put it back on.
Yeah, but the site was on, or the video was, like, all over the place. Like, everybody had the same video. Yeah. You know, like, this was put out by them like that. And right. it was a good job of the thing, too. Like, most crap like that it doesn't look so good, usually. Like, it would have just changed. And you would have had to been watching it. This was, like, and, like, this bolt of lightning or something went through a kind of looking thing. You know, like, it looked really good. So you go there and you're checking it out. And then all of a sudden, like, over the site, which is all fucked up as it is, like, half the images load. You know, there's, like, random text on the side talking about there's sand in my skull and cutting arms off or some shit. It's like, really freaky. And then, like, this black screen comes over and says something about, like, something's going to happen in 9 days or whatever. I don't know. I don't remember how many days. But whatever. It goes on to kind of... Anyway, it gives you the feeling... that, as if this was real, that, like, Master Chief wound up on a fucking planet somewhere, and they're trying to, like, contact somebody, and somehow wound up in this lady's website.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird.
Hmm. Yeah. It's a fake website. This lady doesn't exist.
It's completely fake. And I went digging around, though, and it's actually registered to Margaret's House of Bees somewhere in San Francisco. It's not registered to Microsoft. And it's hosted on Rackspace servers in San Antonio. So, right, which, now, but here's the thing, though. You can get there. They've got it hosted on the Xbox.com site. Somebody figured it out. It's www.xbox.ilovebees.com comes up with the same site as ilovebees.com.
Right.
So it's clearly, you know, this is something that they set up, but it's just like, oh my god, this is so fucking weird. And it was a neat idea, I think, for marketing, because people were just like, they were all concerned about it. What the hell is going on here, you know? And, I don't know, even I spent, you know, a good 20, 30 minutes just poking around the site just to see all the weird stuff. And it was interesting, I mean, just...
That is actually a pretty good marketing tool.
It was better than most of what who's that that does all that stupid shit? Is it Acclaim that does all the weird Turok marketing? Anyone? Bueller?
Well,
Bueller?
Turok is Acclaim.
That's them. They do some weird marketing. Like paying people to name their baby Turok and shit. What else have they done?
I don't know.
No,
I don't remember.
They did some weird stuff though, like putting it on somebody's tombstone or something too. They do some weird stuff for marketing. Yeah, it's strange, but they have a weird marketing scheme. This worked better, I thought, because this seemed like, oh my god, what the hell just happened? You know, and then you go to the site and you saw this weird shit.
And you got people thinking about it for a while.
Exactly. You know, exactly. And dude, there's this guy at work that's so hooked on Halo, it's like all he talks about every single day. And he's getting me wanting to play it real bad now, too. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, because I had a hell of fun playing the first one. But we're getting close to the release of that, too, you know. So there's some pretty heavy games coming out here real soon that people are going to have to make some decisions on what to buy.
It's kind of, not me. I don't have an Xbox.
That's right. You get out easy, see. But there's still... What the hell? KOTOR comes out on the PC also, right? Yeah, Xbox and PC, so oh, see.
Well, after Modem's review, I think I might wait that out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Doom 3 is going to be Xbox and PC, so, and that'll just kick your machine's ass, but you're going to try to play it anyway.
Well, yeah. I'm going to try.
What about...
Fail miserably, but I'm going to try.
I think we're all going to fail. Judgment Day. That's what it comes down to. What's this one here? We mentioned it last time, or the time before that, briefly, but I hadn't played any of the other ones, and I know it's from Working Designs.
Scroll Answers?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're basically these strategy RPGs. And there's three of them, and they might be working on a fourth one, and one's out or something in Japan.
Okay, so then how is it a strategy RPG?
Okay, have you watched Wolf play Arcalad?
No, actually. When I was gone, he played that.
Oh, okay. Well, it's like Final Fantasy Tactics and Ogre Battle, but instead of their, like, the battlefield being like a grid, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's more like there's just all this land, and you can just move a certain distance in any direction. It's more like free.
That's
it's
cool.
It's not like you're moving from square to square to square. It's like you're moving, you know, a couple feet up.
So you can also be diagonal to somebody.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. What were the original ones released for?
The first one was PlayStation, and the second and third one were PlayStation 2.
I see. And see, Working Designs, I like most of the stuff they released. So, I'm surprised I haven't played this before.
It's coming out in a couple weeks.
No, I mean some of the older ones.
Oh, I don't think any of them have been translated.
That's what I figured. That's probably why I haven't seen them.
I found out a while ago they actually call these games RPG simulations in Japan.
Really?
Yeah, they're simulation RPGs.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah.
So this one's coming out on PlayStation 2 next month.
Yeah. So, but, you know, Working Designs are famous for delaying their games up to months and months and months at the last minute.
Yeah, but they're usually worth it, though.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, see, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with delays. It's better than rushing.
Yeah, it is.
It's better than saying, oh, we're going to get it out here. All of a sudden, it's a month early, but it's crap.
Yeah. And it uses 2D art. Are any of these new, or is this just, like, all the old games?
Basically, Grow Answer Generations, which is, the second and third game being released in one package.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's like, you know, why the hell didn't you release the first one? And they said they couldn't do it, they'd have to, like, emulate the PlayStation, all kinds of shit.
The PS2...
So they're thinking about including in the first game some sort of, like, an FMV of, like, text scrolling up and a voiceover telling the people playing what happened during the first one.
The PS2 has its own emulator, though.
Yeah, really. Why don't they just throw, like, a PlayStation 1 game in there?
Yeah, because the
it'll run it.
The PS2 has an emulator built in.
Yeah, it plays all those PS1 games.
Now, I think this is a problem with Sony of America. Not wanting older... looking games, not even older games, but older looking games on the PlayStation 2.
You know, that makes good sense, too. I bet you're right.
Good.
Because they were, Working Designs was also going to release a new Goemon game.
Uh-huh.
And Sony said no. It says, you know what, this doesn't look as good as some of the Xbox games, and you're not releasing it.
Damn. See, and this is just hurting us. This is just keeping us from playing good games, you know?
Yeah, and, like, they added it back to their schedule of games that are, the release date's going to be announced. And no, so nobody knows if they actually kept arguing it or not. But up until, like, a couple days ago, everybody thought it was canceled. And the reason I don't understand this is Sony would lose no money out of this. They'd actually still make money. They'd make commissions, or they take a percentage of the game sales.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you're not going to be losing anything. You're going to make some money. Why not just let them do it?
Yeah, really.
Well, I think they're worried about their graphical reputation.
It's got to be.
Because the next generation's coming out, and they're already, reputation-wise, behind the Xbox graphically. In fact, they're third.
Yeah, they're behind the Cube, too.
And so they're a little worried about their graphical
capabilities.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, how many casual people are gonna stroll down the store aisle and see Goemon? And...
Yeah, none of them. None of them. They're all gonna pick up the latest, you know, whatever crazy shooter just came out, or whatever version of Pokemon's out this week.
Yeah.
You know?
Which there's the red and green remakes are coming out.
Yeah. All excited over that one. I can't wait. You know, particularly, now this one has, let's see, a standard version and a deluxe pack.
Yeah, there's the $50 regular buy the game thing, and then Working Designs is always famous for putting together these, like, you know, $70 and $80 packages, including all this extra shit. And it's, like, it's cool because this is the kind of stuff that happens in Japan.
Exactly.
Like, all the time.
This is what I thought. I don't remember where we were talking about this. It might have been on IRC the other day, though, where I said, you know, I wonder what they got in Japan if we got this.
Yeah.
You know, because it seems to me that no matter what, we get screwed. You know, like, so even if we get the fat pack of stuff over here for once, they probably got something cooler.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because people over there buy it.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about, though. Is like, see, I know most of the people here would just look at it and be like, oh,
most people go, whoa, $80 for a game?
You know, this is $90 for the deluxe pack.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
But what does it come with, though?
It comes with a full soundtrack.
Oh, that's cool. A watch?
Yeah, it comes with the watch and a case for the watch. It comes with some ring and a chain and a little pouch for all of them, a deck of playing cards with all the character art and stuff on it.
That's
and,
cool.
Yeah, the soundtrack.
Okay, what else did you have? X-Men Legends. This actually looks really cool in some ways, and in some ways I'm not too pleased with it. The cool part is it's coming out for everything, Xbox, PS2, or every console anyway.
Which is always nice. I'm really getting tired of the whole exclusivity.
Yeah.
I mean, if I don't have an Xbox, I don't want to not be able to play something. It's dumb.
Totally.
Yeah, it's good in some ways and bad in others, though. Like, because then, you know, like, Enter the Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't the company that made that said that they had to put time into every console, so that's why it was bad?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, pluses and minuses.
Yeah.
Plus, it seems like when they do that, they all shoot for PS2 quality. You know?
Right.
And then everything else looks like crap, too.
It almost looks like they just take it from the PS2 and port it to the other one.
Yeah. So, I mean, look at, wasn't that one game that was on the Xbox, Splinter Cell? Wasn't that just, like, incredible on the Xbox and not so hot on the PS2? When they finally brought it over?
Probably.
Probably, yeah. I don't remember, though. I was trying to think, because I remember hearing something about it, and I can't remember if it was, like, almost the same, which there's no way. I saw screenshots that didn't look that good. But, okay, did anybody see the Spider-Man 2 comparison? Like, IGN did a side-by-side comparison of those.
I've seen it played on the GameCube, and it's all, yeah.
Really? See, I saw it played on a PS2, and it looked like crap, too.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it played on Xbox yet, though.
I didn't like it at all. It was all blocky, and...
Yeah, that's what it looked like on a PS2, also. Hmm.
And it looks like they forgot how to round off polygons.
That was on the GameCube one?
Yeah.
They had a problem with with the, like, the motion blur or something on that one, too.
Yeah.
If I remember right, they had some kind of, some weird issue with the motion blur on it. Almost like it wasn't blurring, other than it was more like it wasn't blurring than it was, like, flashing the image, like, back and forth. So, you know what I mean? Like I'm trying
so
to...
So it looked like Spider-Man was having a seizure while
kinda,
he was...
Kinda. You know, like the way they used to do 3D, like, on your old... Remember the Sega Master System would have 3D games, it would just, like, shake the screen, and you put those glasses on, it would make it 3D. It kind of gave you the impression that that's what they were doing for the motion blur.
Huh.
Spider-Man comes swinging in and, like, land on a building, you're all... I can't quite explain it any better than that, but it didn't seem so great.
I think I got what you're saying, though.
Yeah, it almost looked like they just took the image and, like, doubled it.
Right.
Right? But then, like, each one would blank out as it would blank in. Like, it would just alternate and try to give you the impression that it's motion blur, but it wasn't. It was weak. It didn't look so hot. But I hear good things about the game, but I don't know. The PS2 version, the GameCube version, I didn't think looked so hot. How do we get from X-Men to Spider-Man?
I don't know. Oh, we were talking about them being on all
the consoles.
Okay.
Alright, you're up, Modem, because I don't know dick about X-Men.
Okay, well, it's coming out in September 23rd, and it's like, when they announced it, they were like, oh, it's going to be two players, and you and your buddy can play, and you can go through the levels, and then everybody was like, you know what, if there's going to be four people, you know, if you're going to be able to control two characters with you and your friend, and there's going to be two AI, or the AI is going to be controlling two other characters, why not just give us four-player co-op?
Yeah, really.
Well, if there's going to be four characters in the game fighting at once.
And doesn't this use the NORATH engine?
I don't know.
I think it does, which has four players.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody's like, you know, what the hell? Why not just put it in? And so the developer's like, you know what, that's a fair argument, okay. And then, bam, they announced that they put that in.
Nice.
So that's awesome. And basically, it's cel-shaded, and it's like a Streets of Rage RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I'm pretty sure that I read somewhere this uses the Champions of NORATH engine.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can kind of get the impression right there what it's going to be like. You know, like Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance.
You know, these games, they're not very in-depth. But they're really good fun. I mean,
they are.
Just button mashing.
That's what I like about it right there. There's not a whole lot going on. You just have to run around and kill a bunch of shit, and then you get cool stuff.
Yeah, it's just mindless entertainment.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, yeah, which is good.
It's like, you know why I think I like it? I think I just, like, put it together. It's the closest thing we have today to a 2D side-scroller.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's why I think I like him so much. Like, I guess I never thought about it a whole lot before, but, like, I noticed I kept playing games like that. Like, wow, I really want to check this out, and this is really fun. Like, even, what's that, the vampire one?
Castlevania?
No, Hunt for the Reckoning.
Oh.
Yeah. Even that is pretty cool to me, because that's, like, the closest thing we have. Because you don't have, like, the full 3D zoom-in camera and all that bullshit right behind the guy. You don't have a camera problem in these.
I was kind of hoping that Shattered Soldier would kind of jumpstart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been nice.
Because there's so much you can do with the games of the past like that, with the 2D side-scroller, but still 3D. Like, use
R-type.
What we have now.
R-Type Final is another good example. Alright, environmental puzzles. This sounds like they want to be like Zelda.
Basically what they're doing is, you know... Like, you play, like, Streets of Rage, right, where you just go through the level and guys come at you and you kill them. You know what that's like?
Yeah.
Okay, well, basically they've added, like, there'll be, like, a sort of, like, a roadblock. Like, if there's a bridge collapsed or something, you can, like, either use Nightcrawler to teleport your guys over the collapsed bridge, or you can use Storm to, like, make some wind, like, conjure up some wind and blow your guys across.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You can use Jean Grey to, you know, lift your guys up with their psychic powers.
Or Iceman, I bet, can make a bridge, huh?
Yeah.
That would be
like
awesome.
That.
That'd be so cool. That's kind of cool, then. Okay, I see. I wasn't so sure about how they were going to do it. I thought they were going to be, like, generic, retarded puzzles. That's
like
pretty...
blocks?
Yeah, like, I was just, for some reason, I see environmental puzzles, and I think of pushing blocks around in Zelda. I don't know why, but everybody falls back on that kind of crap.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna, well, no, they might.
I'm sure there's gonna be a little bit of push this, make that, you know.
Yeah, there's gonna be stuff like
that. Which I have no problem with.
You use Cyclops to, like, blow a hole in a door that's
yeah.
locked, or, You know, you can use Nightcrawler to transfer you guys to the other side, anything like that.
See, that's cool, because no matter what guys you pick, you can beat the puzzle.
Yeah.
That's what I think is so neat about it. You know, like, what if you don't want to play as, you know, with Storm in your party? Well, then you can't make your little floaty air walking thing, you know? What if you don't want to have Iceman either, so you can't make a bridge? Now you're screwed. You know, but it's cool they have a way for, like, most of the guys to get in there. Maybe yeah. Colossus could, like, throw you across. I thought that was pretty good.
That sounds good.
What I want to know is how do they expect 40 to 60 hours of gameplay out of this?
Activision is insisting that this is, like, going to be one of the biggest games they've made, and that this is, they keep saying, you know, this is an RPG,
This is what, that was the impression I got when I read about it like a couple weeks ago. I was reading about it going, this sounds pretty cool, but I didn't get too much out of it.
60 hours is too long for a game like this.
Yeah, if it's all that, you know.
You're going to get bored.
You're going to get bored if it's like, exactly, like Streets of Rage. You would just get so friggin' tired doing the same crap over and over and over. Maybe you can get, like, do you get levels and shit?
Yeah, you level up your...
That's what I'm talking about. See, that'll be cool, because then you can get different abilities and shit too, right?
I'd assume, yeah.
I would hope. I mean, although it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Like, you should have all your abilities, you know? And of course, they got Wolverine in it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of Wolverine. I like Storm a lot.
Storm. I like Beast. Beast the man.
He doesn't make it into too many of these, does he?
No.
I don't understand. Marvel keeps claiming that Wolverine's like a fan favorite, but I don't know too many people that like him.
I don't either. I really don't either. It seems like everybody's like, oh, yeah, Wolverine's in it, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
You know what I do like Wolverine in is the fighting games, because he's got Ryu's moves. He's just like them and him and Ken. So I love to play Wolverine, but that's the only time I like him, because they gave him like the same moves, you know. So that's it. That's all I like him in. They got Wolverine, Cyclops, Gambit. I know Ode loves Gambit. That's like his favorite X-Men.
I know a lot of people who like Gambit.
Yeah, you know, he is a pretty popular one. Nightcrawler, Colossus, Jean Grey, she's pretty cool. Storm. And Iceman, and there's 7 more?
Yeah, there's 15 total, and there's those 8 have been released, so there's 7 left.
That's cool. This is starting to sound better and better.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Beast is going to be in this. There's been rumors.
Woohoo!
Nice. And if you've ever played, or if anybody's seen Champions of Norrath, you'll notice that they have, one of their biggest things is they say, oh, there's a whole lot more dudes than there is in Baldur's Gate. Well, okay, in Baldur's Gate, you've got like 3 guys on the first one. I think in the second one, you got a few more. I'm waiting for that one to come down in price before I pay that much for the same game, but.
Right.
They've got, in Champions of Norrath, they like rigged it up. There's like, really 5 guys. Mm-hmm. Then there's like a male and female version. And there's absolutely no difference between them other than your character's model. So it's like you're still kind of limited to who you're playing.
But then there's 10 guys!
Yeah, is that right? Exactly. It's hella fun, okay? Like, it's hella fun. But this has got 15 different people.
Yeah, and this is exactly what I've been, like, preaching. It's like, you know what? If you're going to make a game that's based on something like this, why give us, like, 4 guys? Give us a shitload.
Amen,
like the Transformer
brother.
Game.
Hell yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's the Transformer game, dude. 3 guys. Give me a break.
Yeah. And so when I was reading off all the guys that have been confirmed, and they're hitting the big names, and they're like, and 7 more, I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
7 more?
This is going to be cool. Do we know anything about network play?
I didn't read anything on that.
Me neither. But using that Champions, I swear to god I read it. I swear to god it said it used the Champions North engine. I'll have to find out where I read that, so just to prove I didn't make it up. But... if it does use that engine, it should have all that network code built in then. Because
right.
You can play that over the however the hell it works on the PS2, you know? You can play that. So that would be really cool, you know? Cause,
I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, this sounds awesome. I'm really excited too because, you know, I like comic book stuff like this. You know, I really do. I was into it as a kid too, collecting comics and stuff. Stuff like this is just plain cool. And then we saw a bunch of crappy games.
You know, yeah.
It was just horrible.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like the Teenage...
Superman 64, anybody?
You know, yeah, and didn't they release something that was like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Like where like Streets of Rage, basically, we just run around and beat crap up.
Right.
That wasn't very much fun either.
The arcade game?
Yeah.
that it was hard.
So it was okay. I mean, I played it for a little bit, but you didn't seem like you had, I don't know, I didn't really care for it. Maybe just I was tired of playing Turtles all day anyway, and then tried to play this and was like, yeah, whatever. You know, it seemed just like, and I bet they all use the same engine anyway. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Simpsons, the arcade game of the X-Men one that was just like that. They probably do all use the same
Simpsons.
Engine.
Marge running around with the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah. That was cool shit. Alright, what else did you... Spy vs. Spy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know a damn thing, and nobody does.
Yeah.
Nobody knows anything about this. There hasn't been any artwork released or anything. The only, like, evidence that this game exists is just this little picture on the company that's making its website. And it's just, like, coming soon. And then it said mid-2004. And I'm like, what the hell? It's like the end of July. So what's going on here? They've released no screenshots. People are like, does this game exist? So I'm hoping that this gets released, because Spy vs. Spy for the Nintendo kicks major ass.
I'm going to say...
Yeah, there's a lot you could do with Spy vs. Spy in a video game.
I'm not going to... I don't know, man. It sounds like it's toast.
Yeah, it really... I think it's...
This doesn't sound like it's going to make it.
It sounds like it didn't make it a long time ago.
Yeah, being created... Who? Vicious Cycle. These guys did Robotech?
They did a Robotech game. They're making another one. And they made some game I've never, ever, 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 ever heard of called Dinotopia.
Me neither.
That was like a Disney movie or show or something, wasn't it?
I don't know. Was it that... Who made that Robotech game that you just got a little bit ago for like $5?
I don't know. I just took it out of my case thing. It's sitting in my living room. I played it for like 10 minutes. I was like, oh my god, no.
No wonder this is $5.
ever since I saw it out, I was like, that game can't be that bad. You're running around a big old robot.
I have to hand it to you. I did the same thing.
It can't be that bad.
Convinced that a game has got to be somewhat fun, you know, and so
I mean,
finally break down.
How can you mess up being in a big giant robot flying around shooting shit with a bunch of missiles?
I bet it's made by the same people.
They messed it up bad. Whoever
yeah, probably is the same company.
Messed it up bad.
What was it called? Robotech what?
Robotech
something lame. Well, it was only $5 when you got it brand new, so yeah. It can't...
Best Buy, no less.
Yeah, so that really is like throws up a warning flag. The guys who were charging fucking $40 for the demo CD for the GameCube that everywhere else has for $10.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that. Now, yeah, I don't know. I might have to call that one dead. That's too bad, too, because that would be a really cool game. At least, especially, well, how the hell would you do that two-player, though, and not, like, fuck it up?
They did it on the Nintendo.
Did it not suck? Two-player?
Oh, no way, dude. Like I said, me and some friends, we were, like, 10, 9, 8, somewhere around there, just killed, like, a solid year playing that thing.
How?
Okay, basically, there's player one's on the top, and the one's on the bottom, right?
Uh-huh.
It's like a split screen. It's basically, you know, like a typical two-player game.
Yeah, yeah.
On TV. Well... Have you played it?
No. We talked about it just before we were recording. Remember, I said I never played it, but I remember it coming out, but I never played it.
Yeah, basically, you gotta run around in this, like, mansion, and you gotta look behind furniture and under pictures and stuff, and you gotta get money, a passport, a key, and some, like, secret documents. And you can't hold all four, so you gotta find a briefcase first. And then... you gotta find all four items, and then you gotta go through this door and get into this plane, and you fly away and win. Well, when it's two-player, which the whole game's two-player, because it has this really crappy AI, but you can put traps underneath pictures and stuff.
Oh, okay, like the places that you would look for the shit.
Yeah, if there's nothing there, you can put, like, a bomb under there, and then when your buddy goes and opens it, they blow up.
That's pretty cool.
And then they gotta wait, like, 30 seconds before they can start playing again.
Oh.
So you could put buckets of, it was like this acid water stuff, it was hard to tell on the Nintendo, on the doors. So when they'd open the doors, a bucket of crap would fall on them and they'd die.
So now, if they fell into one of your traps, did they drop an item that you got? I mean...
Yeah, it'd go to like, it'd usually go to a random place in the room where they died. And if everything was bombed, I think you'd go to just some random area in the mansion. So, and there is a time limit, and when it runs out, if both of you haven't, if no one's beaten it yet, then you both die. Hmm. So, I mean, every game's like 10, 15 minutes long or something.
That's pretty cool, because that kind of stuff gets addicting real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of these games where either you're just like, this is the dumbest game ever, I quit, or you and a friend just played it for like ever.
Yeah, I see now. Like, yeah, that's cool. That is really cool.
So that's why when I was like, oh my god, Spy vs. Spy, the new Spy vs. Spy game, this is awesome. And then it's like, coming mid-2004, and I'm like, you've gotta be fucking...
Damn, and what's this supposed to be out on, PS2?
Yeah, it was... The page I went to on IT said Xbox, but I'm assuming it also come out for... PS2.
Yeah, I would think so. Damn, that sounds like it could be hours of entertainment if you had any friends over, you know, for an extended period of time a lot.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
It was like one of those party games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But for two people. I guess you could do it for people.
Oh, yeah. I had five or six people come over and we played it for like an entire week every night.
That's badass. That's pretty cool. I don't know how well, I mean, they'd really have to do some crazy stuff though to make something like that fly on a new, you know, today.
Yeah.
Today.
It's kind of simplified for this market.
Yeah, it seems like it needs something else there too.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it would have been interesting to find out what they're going to do, but it doesn't sound too promising. Yeah. That's too bad. Now, what's this other one? I can't even pronounce this, so.
Bujingai? Yeah.
Okay.
It's like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon meets Devil May Cry. Like a Hong Kong action flick meets Devil May Cry. What's that Xbox one? Atogi or something?
Oh, the ninja one? Where you're flying around? That's pretty cool.
Like that.
Hmm.
And it looks pretty awesome. Like you can get like, basically when I was reading about it, you could get like a combo. Like, you know, you hit a guy and the combo meter goes up one. You know, typical combo. But you could jump up in the air and hit a button and you kind of glide forward.
Yeah, that's exactly like Otogi.
Yeah. So, basically, you could get a combo that goes through the entire level if you kept gliding. Because if you're on the ground too long, then your combo meter was set. You could get, like, a 2,000 hit combo
Jesus,
the entire
that's...
level.
Holy shit.
And it just, if you watch some videos of it, it just, people keep describing it as beautiful. Because it's just, the guy's got this, like, these, like, ribbons attached to his clothes and stuff, and it's, like, flowing in the wind.
Yeah, so shit flies around like Shinobi.
Right.
So it just, it's like a Hong Kong action flick meets Devil May Cry, basically.
That sounds better than Devil May Cry to me. I didn't care for the time and the place and the scene of Devil May Cry, so I never really got into it. Camera bothered me
toughest
also.
Toughest part of me is that camera style. That,
yeah, I have a rough time with that.
That Resident Evil camera.
So, well.
Yeah, it looks better than Devil May Cry.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't know, the third one sounds pretty hot, though. Devil May Cry 3?
After the second one, I'm cautious about that.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch it either. I don't even want to try. I don't even care. But that, you know, that Otogi looked really cool. Did they ever release the second one?
I don't know.
Are they still working on that?
We're working on it.
The first one came out of nowhere. I didn't hear about it, just bam, all of a sudden we came across it, somehow I played a demo or something. It was really cool. Wolf ran out and bought it. I don't think he ever played it, you know, more than like 3 days, you know, and then just stopped playing, but it seemed pretty cool. Then Shinobi, and we had
Shinobi was so tough.
Ninja Gaiden, you know, which I need to rent that. I need to check that out with the new pack as soon as that comes out, because it sounds like it might be so awesome now.
Agony, it's a patch.
It's not a patch.
Dude, they're fixing the camera.
Which wasn't broken to begin. They're not fixing it. They're adding options to it so that I can control.
Well, it wasn't broken to begin with. Why are they fixing it?
Well, see, it was probably a request thing because, you know, they intended for it to operate that way to begin with. You know, they wanted it to be the way it was so that you didn't have to take your hands off the buttons to control the stupid camera for a minute. I would probably rather have some control over the camera and just have to deal with pushing the button faster, you know. But look at all the other crap they're adding, you know, the little speeding up the engine, smarter AIs.
They're patching the engine.
They're not patching it, though. They're making it tougher. They're just like, they're giving you like a
free... No, they're optimizing it.
They're giving you a A free upgrade.
And my point is, even if they are patching it, why is that a bad thing?
Because, man, it's going to be like PC gaming. You're going to buy a game, and you're going to get it home, and it's going to be like, oh, wait, there's a big bug in this, and you need to patch it. You're going to be like, why the hell am I patching something on the console? And with the hard drive, it's even worse, because now it's, you're able to do that, and they're doing that. They're optimizing the engine, they're adding features, like the new spinnable camera.
But the game is totally fine without that. There's nothing wrong with it. You can totally pick that up and play it and never run into some kind of, like, show-stopping, game-stopping bug, though. The game's fine. They just, you know...
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Well, they're upgrading it for you for free. For those who care enough about the game, you know, that play it all day, might want to see these new features and stuff. It's just like a new map. You know, if you were to play, like, say, Mech Assault, and they said, oh, here's another mech. You know, how can you say, oh, well, how come you didn't give us that, you know, when you released the game?
Yeah.
You know,
they're upgrading it?
They added all kinds of crap. I was using it as an example.
Well, if they're upgrading it, sounds like...
But it's not like an upgrade. It's like, you know, over time, they're going to add cool little shit for free. You know, a couple extra mechs, maybe, you know, whatever the game may be, an extra guy. I would love to be able to turn Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 1 on, fire up the site, you know, or Xbox Live, and then have it be like, oh, hey, you know, did you want to download a Necromancer? Fuck yeah, I do.
Yeah.
You know, let me play something else. I played through, you know, as these three guys, you know, those that played it that long and cared, and you could get a free guy. Like, look at Toe Jam and Earl on the Xbox. They had, like, three dudes you could download. They didn't change the game at all. They had three guys you could download and two, like, special levels you could download. At least as far as I know, I kind of stopped checking after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, that was cool. That was totally for free. It was nothing that I had to do on my part. It was not that the game wasn't broken. They just, you know, let me play different guys. Kind of changed it up a little bit. It was just kind of neat.
Yes, I don't have a problem with that, but when they're under the list of, like, features of this add-on download, they're listing fixing the camera and
optimized
engine.
They didn't list, but see, you're changing the words. They didn't say optimized engine or fixed camera. They said they've added a feature where you can, I imagine you can change this so that it's like you could do it old school style or the new way, where you can now control the camera if you want. And the engine was, you know, sped up, not so that because it was slow, it plays just fine. Just so that, you know, if you want, hey, here's more of a challenge.
I think if you're changing the engine, then it's a pass.
Well, I think this is a fine line. Okay, because look at something like Unreal Championship. That was a patch. They patched that one, where it ran like crap and had anti-aliasing problems and all that crap, and there was bugs in some of the maps. That was a clear patch, because there was something broken, there was something wrong. This is, the game's totally fine, they're just giving you more shit to play with.
Yeah, but I've heard so many people complain about the camera, and when I hear people complain about the camera, and then they're like, download this, it'll, you know, change the camera, so it'll make everything better for you guys, that just sounds like a patch.
It's the way that you're wording it, though, because they don't say, hey, this'll fix your camera problems, you know?
What do they say?
They say that, you know, you can now control the camera.
That sounds major to me.
No, I didn't say not major. I didn't mean not major. Not broken. It's not broken. You can see the game. The camera works. It floats around. You have some control over it. You know, but that's how they intended it to be. It's not broken. You can completely play the game just fine.
Sounds like a patch to me.
See, it sounds like free shit to me. And bring it on. I like free shit. I like turning on my Xbox and seeing, hey, you can download something for free that's not broken, just add it in.
if it's not broken, why are they doing anything to it?
Because people like to play the game, and they want to keep people playing the game.
People consider it broken?
I don't think so. Nobody considered Toe Jam and Earl broken when they added new guys.
This isn't a new guy. It's allowing you to control the camera.
So? Would you consider Resident Evil broken if they allowed you to control the camera all of a sudden?
Shut up.
it's more like just like a feature thing. Well, this would be kind of cool, so we'll add this in, you know? I just don't see it as like a patch. I see what they did to Unreal Championship on the Xbox as a patch, where there was something screwed up, and they had to fix it because it was causing problems, you know, with online play and with, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the way the game played. It, you know, slowdown issues and blah, 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 blah. And there's bugs in some of the maps. That was, no question about it, that's a patch. Because they changed shit that was broken. This was just, you know, adding shit into the game.
I win.
So, game, set, and match.
Okay. But they really should fix Resident Evil camera like that.
Hey, I think that, you've seen the new one though, right? Yeah, you saw that video.
Yeah.
Holy crap, does it look good. So, alright, I'll tell you what, we gotta stop this for a second and save it because Audacity likes to be a pain in the ass when we get to like a few minutes from now, and overwrite what we've done. So what we gotta do is like stop it and save it and then dump it to a wave and then we have to start like over for the second part and I have to paste it together later on.
You've gone that long?
Well, an hour and 50. But hey, have you been able to hear Kobar just fine this whole time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty, okay, because I didn't want to give you the Michael Moore C4 version of the story like last time. You could only hear me.
That's good.
Okay, cool. Where were we? Oh yeah, the main focus of the show managed to be pushed back like an hour and 10 minutes or something.
Yeah. Tales of Symphonia.
Rock my face.
This game, for the most part, is quite awesome. I am loving it.
We've all got it. We're all playing it.
Mm-hmm.
How many hours have you got into it?
21.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, you got far today.
No, because I fell asleep a couple times with it on.
Oh.
Actually, more like 6.
Oh. That's weak.
I'm about 30 hours actually into the game.
Yeah, you're farther ahead than everybody.
Yeah.
So by a good long shot. I'm probably going to hit the second disc here real soon.
Oh, wow, you're still on disc one?
Well, disc one is a lot bigger than the second one is. Okay, so it's not half
like
the game.
Like an indication of how long you're going to play, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm like all of like 6 hours into it. You know, I'm like the second town, you know. I just haven't had a chance to play it that much, but... Yeah, and a good lot of that, like, I know if anybody's played it, like, 6 hours, 5-6 hours, I think the second town, like, 2.5 of those hours was me just trying to get a hold of the combat. Like, get a good grasp of it, because up until the last time I played, I was getting my ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what was wrong. So, and it's got, like, well, okay, maybe, since you know, like, the history of this stuff, go ahead and talk about, like, the series, you know?
Basically... Tales of Phantasia was released on the Super Nintendo, basically at the end of the Super Nintendo's life, and it was one of the biggest cartridges ever released.
You mean Super Famicom?
Yeah, Famicom.
Because it never came out for the Super Nintendo.
Right, never in America. It's a really awesome game. The battle system is exactly like Tales of Symphonia, but it's more 2D.
Right.
You know how in Tales of Symphonia, basically, like, you can only run left and right, but when you switch whatever enemy you're targeting, the camera turns and you can only run left and right still?
Right. Which I enjoy. I'm actually glad that it's still semi-2D.
Yeah.
I think it works really well.
Yeah, it does.
So, because when you're playing an RPG, you really don't want to have to worry about the camera.
Yeah, totally. So it works good. So, Tales of Destiny, then, was released for the PlayStation in America and Japan. And then, the third game, Tales of Eternia, was released in Japan. Now, Namco decided to bring this to America, but even, they wanted to, make sure that gamers got the connection that it was related to Tales of Destiny. So they renamed it to Tales of Destiny 2.
Right.
Which makes no sense because Tales of Destiny 1 didn't do that good. So nobody knows why they wanted to make sure that the fans were like, well, any gamers were like, oh, this is, you know, the sequel of Tales of Destiny.
In Japan, the Tales of series is almost as big as Final Fantasy.
Oh yeah, it's huge.
And I've never even heard of it.
So, yeah, and then Namco announces they're making a sequel to Tales of Destiny called Tales of Destiny 2. And so now we're like, we're fucked, because they have to rename that to something, because there's already Tales of Destiny 2 in America. So,
So in Japan, Tales of Symphonia is called Tales of Destiny 2?
No, it's called Tales of Symphonia, but there's a PlayStation 2 game called Tales of Destiny 2, and it is a sequel to Tales of Destiny.
Ah.
But we're probably never going to get that in America, because Namco renamed Tales of Eternia Tales of Destiny 2.
Well, I don't know, though, because if Tales of Symphonia does well, which it sounds like it is,
I'm hoping,
they'll decide to release it.
Yeah, it's really opened up a lot of doors, and there's rumors now that Namco might port the PlayStation 2 version of Tales of Symphonia.
Porting a game to America only costs so much. You know, it's not like making a whole new game and throwing it out there.
Yeah.
You do have to pay people to translate
and localization
and stuff like that. But it's not as expensive as actually making a game.
Yeah. So that leads us up to Tales of Symphonia, basically,
which just came out for the GameCube like what, 2 weeks ago.
About
2 weeks ago, and I don't know. I think it's a pretty damn good game. I'm loving it right now. It pulled me out of Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy XI's got its own set of problems, which was kicking me out anyway, basically. But finally, something that was interesting enough to stop my self-abuse playing Final Fantasy XI. It was actually something that I actually cared to play. So I was pretty happy about that. And I've only played like 6 hours of it, plan on playing for the rest of the weekend, because finally I got 2 days off. And like, man, it's like deep. There's like a whole lot of crap to do in there, which isn't like a major, really hard thing. I notice in a lot of these games, they have some kind of mini-quests, or these little, you know, stupid things that like, like a mini game kind of thing. Like what? Game in Final Fantasy?
They have a few mini games in Tales of Symphonia.
But they're not like, okay, well, what are some of them?
So they're not game spanning like the card system.
Yeah,
though.
See, something like that I could actually handle. Something that doesn't take away from the whole game itself.
They're like truly mini games. Like you'll go talk to someone and they'll say, hey, do you want to play this game? And you'll go, yeah. And so like one of them is like Simon Says.
Oh, that's cool.
And so you can talk to this person, and he'll, like, do an action, and you have to press a button that coordinates with that action. And so then you do Simon Says with this person. You, like, copy
them.
That's
cool.
And then you do well, and you get items for it.
That's pretty cool.
And so those are true mini-games. They're not, like, large mini-games.
Yeah. See, that's pretty neat. And but there's, like, for example, okay, when you got that, you get a monster list. Like right. And they don't tell you what the monster's names are. You know, and as you play and as you run into the monsters, it shows up on your little list now. And it has their name and their picture, but nothing else about it.
Right.
Right? And then you can get this, you have these items that are like, you know what I'm talking about?
Magic lenses.
Yeah, okay, the lenses, yeah, right? And then, you know, you can use that on an enemy and it'll tell you their hit points and what they're weak to and all that kind of stuff. Then it adds it into this little book of yours, I guess. And to me, that's really cool because that's something that I can handle. You know what I mean? Something that I can just kind of do as I'm playing, and I'm hoping at some point, if I get them all, that there's something cool that I get for that. You know, or not all, but most of them anyway. You
hopefully,
because I already missed a few. You know?
I've already missed a lot. I dropped the ball on that whole thing. And
see, I'm glad I picked up on that right away. Same thing with the cooking. That I didn't quite realize that you had to like level your cooking skill, and then each guy was a cook, and depending on what ingredients you had, different guys would use different ingredients to make a sandwich, and they would have different effects on you. That's cool.
Yeah, cooking has always been a part of the Tales game.
Yes, I didn't know that.
Oh, it's really cool.
It's kind of handy, you know. At the end of a fight, you hit one button, and if you have all the shit, you know, your guys regain some hit points and TP and whatnot. You know, that's kind of cool. That's pretty neat. That was a neat little thing. The graphics are good. I'll tell you. I want to start with my complaints first, though. Before we talk about how good it is.
There are some complaints I have.
Yeah, I got some too.
My biggest complaint, what was I bitching to you about? The camera.
Amen.
on the world map.
And for the most part, it's only on the world map, though.
Well, there is no camera anywhere else.
You're just kind of like looking over your from far away. So right. And it works well. I didn't have any problems.
Oh, yeah,
when
you're in a dungeon or a town or in battle.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem at all.
The camera does a real good job of being where it needs to be.
But you get out on that map, basically, like where, you know, where you're walking around. Holy crap, does it? And it's backwards. It's fucking backwards again.
And it gets way too close.
Yes, you can't see like directly in front of you sometimes.
That's they do it on purpose because there's those stones that you can go find that allow you to get on that.
Oh,
that
I haven't figured out how that works yet.
Yeah, I haven't even like I found one of those stones.
Me too.
Basically, you gotta find the big like it's like a big altar stone thing, and then it's like, oh, okay, you've unlocked the is a far away mode. Or
yeah,
whatever,
like wide view
or
something.
You hit a button and you start writing on your, well, the dude called it a dog. I don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah.
And it zooms out really far, but you still can't move the camera up and down.
Yeah, yeah.
It just zooms out.
Sometimes.
But it does zoom out and it does make it a lot better.
But then,
yeah,
you
but then once you get out of the continent that stone covers, it zooms back in.
Well, it's not even a continent, it's just the area.
Yeah, that's.
No.
But that's important because it's one of those things that you have to go find. It's it's one of the completionist pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think they did the whole, the camera gets up on you on purpose to make you want to go get these stones.
Because there were some points where I couldn't even see what was right in front of me.
Yeah, and that was annoying. I was like yelling at the TV.
Yeah, same here. I was like, what the hell's going on?
But it does get better. There are things that happen that
The only reason it's acceptable to me is because it's not action. I'm just walking around this little map. You know, so it's not that bad.
And you have to fight on the world map anyway, or otherwise you'll fall behind in your levels and money and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter if you get jumped on something, because you need to fight anyway.
Yeah, like Modem here even mentioned the other day that he had fallen behind because he skipped so many of the fights.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I sat around the other day trying to get a good grasp of the combat system, which was my other... It wasn't a complaint, it was more like a... Why in the hell couldn't they have, like, trained us on this a little better? Like, even the manual was no help to me at all.
Uh-huh.
When I was trying to figure out how to fight. So I would go out, and I would fight some stuff, and I would get so severely beaten that, like, every dollar that I made in that fight would go into paying for healing for, like, that fight. And, like, I could fight, like, 3 fights, and then I would be so fucked up and near death, I would have to, like, go to the inn, and every dime I made would go into that night at the inn to rest me up to go fight again.
Yeah, the inn is real expensive to begin with.
Holy cow, my broke, you know? And it was just like, this sucks. But then you told me, like, kind of how the combat works, like how to do some of the combos a little better. Mm-hmm. And I knew I could set my moves, but I wasn't sure how to make them work right.
Right.
You know? So, and then once you were like, oh, no, just hit this button and do that. And I was like, oh, okay. And now, I mean, crap, I played for 2.5 hours today, and not once did I have to go to the inn and rest.
Right.
Because I was so on top of it. You know? So that was a lot better. Plus, I had the healer chick now, though.
Right.
The teacher, who was like, is that all she does is heal?
For the most part, later on she gets things like a defense up spell.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
And you also get the one that's for everybody, a field barrier, and that is everybody. She also gets acuteness, which makes your attack go up.
Nice.
Stuff like that. She's like, she's a basic cleric, white mage type of person.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Plus, I noticed when I had her in the party, my grade went through the roof.
I still can't figure out exactly how that grade works.
Well, if you don't get hit, it's really high. Like, I was getting, like, 4.5.
I've gotten...
per fight. For a while. You know? And it seemed also based on my level. Because I went into a fight, and I'll mess them up. And I'll fight them, say, perfect, right? Like, I don't get hit once, and I didn't block. I just walked in and just owned him, and I would get like a 4.5 something. But if I had to block once, it would drop me, like right away. Almost like a full point for every block.
Hmm.
And then if I took like way more damage, like when I was fighting that one boss guy, I was getting negative grade.
Oh, I got a negative 7.1.
Oh my god.
On one of the bosses. Because this thing was just wrecking me. I had let myself get too far behind on my levels. And this thing was just wrecking me, and I had 20 of every gel and everything, and I used them all. I was just way relying on my items, and I got like a negative 7.1
Jesus.
Or something.
Jesus.
Yeah, you get raped if you don't keep up with your level.
On what?
If you don't keep up.
If you don't keep up. I thought you said the boss fights.
Yeah, well, and it's one of the biggest complaints I have is the story. And it's not that the story is bad. It's not even that the story is all that, is not deep enough. It's a pretty deep story. The problem is they ripped it right out of Final Fantasy X. If you've played Final Fantasy X, you're going to go, well, hell, I've played this game before, story-wise. Now, they do enough things differently, and there's enough twists that it makes it worth playing. Like, I'm still finding myself enjoying the story enough that it's okay. But it would be nice if it was a little more original.
Well, to be fair, Final Fantasy X wasn't exactly the most original game either.
Well, Mm-hmm. I can't say much because I didn't play it, but I didn't like it. I'll tell you that. Because I did spend like 2 hours in that game. It was like, I can't handle this game. So that's my take on it.
If I had played this game first, it would be great. Because A, if only, there's a damn world map. How do you have an RPG where there's no world map, where you go through a tunnel?
I was just going to say, exactly, they keep you on the set path. That's how they do it, you know? You can only go from A to B, you know? And then you start over.
Well, it's physically how they do it, but how do you expect that to be a good thing?
That doesn't put you... Yeah, exactly, because that doesn't give you that feeling that you're in a world, you know, which is what I like about this already. I'd say, like, wow, I went from one town to another today. That was awesome for me to see a new town somewhere, and you got new people, and they act all different because they don't have treaties with those design guys that are out attacking the towns and stuff, you know? That was really cool. And that little thing, with the old lady, Marble, that was really cool to me. That was like, wow, this is neat. You know, and see, having never played Final Fantasy X, not knowing the story, this is all new to me. And it's been a long time since I played an RPG that was a console RPG. Jesus Christ, it's been too long. You know, there just hasn't been a whole lot of good ones out that I really wanted to play either.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm loving it. I'm really, really enjoying it. And I'm just now starting to get the handle of the combat system, you know, and, of the items. The items, I can't figure it. Okay, you can, like, upgrade your stuff, like customize your dudes.
Right.
Like, they'll take, like, an old, like, you're like, okay, I'll bring him my leather armor. And then he'll say, if you can come up with, like, magical beast armor or something, or whatever.
Right.
He'll, like, attach it to my armor, and my leather armor becomes, like, hard leather armor. You know, from soft leather to hard leather, and it's, like, upgraded. But, like, when I went to go do the weapons, I had to buy the other weapon to switch it out.
You cannot simply unequip a weapon.
Which is stupid, because I could not just unequip my weapon, because I had the piece to upgrade it. I went and killed shit for days until I got the piece for the free upgrade. So then I went to the guy, and I was, like, expecting it to just let me upgrade the weapon, and it wouldn't let me. So then I tried to unequip it for a while, and I couldn't do it. So then I had to go blow 800 of my gold, which at the time, remind you, I was dead broke, you know, was, like, making, like, 10 gold after 3 fights. That was all I had, or gold, whatever they call it. You know, so it took me forever. And then, finally, I was able to buy the other one, like, the in-between one.
Mm-hmm.
You know which exactly what I'm talking about, because it's the first one you could do. And it was the rings, the throwing things.
Right.
And then I could unequip, or equip the new one I bought, take the old one, use the free upgrade, which made it, like, one step better than the one I just bought. Then I went to go sell the one I just bought, and the guy would give me, like, half price. And that's, I was like, oh, man.
That's why you make sure you have at least one extra weapon in your inventory at all times, because I had to do that the first time, too.
Really? Okay, well, I'm not selling a damn thing in this game. I'll tell you right now.
You don't need to.
I'm hanging on to it.
You make plenty of money simply fighting to handle buying what you need.
It seemed like I did once I was not getting my ass kicked. Now that I know how the combos work and how to set the moves a little bit.
And also, as long as you don't run away from fights, if you're on the world map, something's in front of you, you'll run right through it and attack and kill it, and then continue on your way. You never have to sit. I haven't had to sit and level up until I started doing that.
Oh, and so you started skipping some of the fights and shit?
I stopped skipping the fights.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm really liking it. It seems like it's really well thought out. The graphics are great.
Oh.
I thought it was cool as hell.
They're really good. for what they're trying to do, the style.
Yeah, of the game. They look really good. And the characters, I don't feel that they... Like, I don't have a good feel for who some of the guys are. You know, like, my main guy, he just seems like a puss. And his name is Lloyd, you know. And he just kind of seems like this whiner that follows this awesome chick around, you know, who just kicks ass, and she's the chosen one, and he just wants to follow along with her, you know.
And, you know, the depth of the characters does not become nearly as deep as I would like them to.
Uh-huh.
It does get better.
Yeah. It seems like it's okay. There's some story going on.
It's acceptable.
There's these weird little glowing ring things floating around the world map, I've noticed. Not rings. They're like on the ground, and it's like this shining light coming out of the ground.
Oh, those are just special little stories.
Yeah, I walked up to one and clipped the wrong thing, and she called me jackass or something, and went along her way.
And there's also basically the same thing as those skits that you press Z.
Oh, those drive me insane.
Yeah. Okay, that's one of my complaints about those. Like, the voices in this game aren't that good.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it feels weird that those aren't voiced.
Exactly.
They are in the Japanese version.
Oh, yeah,
but they just skipped and they were like, you know what, we'll just not...
See, that's so messed up. I really was expecting to hear voices when I was watching those little scenes, and there's a lot of them. I keep running into them.
There is a ton of them.
You know, and I miss a good lot of them, too, because I'm too involved in the game, and I'm not watching for that little thing to pop up for me to click to watch the stupid little skit.
At least on my GameCube, if I catch it right when it pops up and then tap Z with my uber-gamer reflexes, the disc freaks out and crashes the system.
Whoa.
All of a sudden I hear from my GameCube, and it goes, oh, there's a problem.
No way.
And I've lost a good hour or more because of that once. And I'm like, okay. Really? So now every time I see that pop up, I'll wait. And then I click it.
I haven't nailed it yet, because most of the time I don't even see it. I miss so many because I'm just not paying attention.
It crashes the game?
Yeah.
You need to patch that.
See? Patches are a good thing. You know what I noticed, though, is on those little... Wait, is it... Oh, no, it can't be those little skits. I noticed some kind of weird noise when I would skip the sound. I can't remember when I did it. I'll have to find it again. But if I press the button, I can skip the sound. So it must be one of the little cutscenes or whatever. But it must be when I saw, but I don't remember reading through any I saw before. It must be when they're talking. Dude, how weird. I can't place where that is. But I noticed this weird sound coming from my cube when I would skip the thing. Like it would just go... K-choo!
Yeah, like the disc hits something or something. It sounds like on mine.
It was a sound that I didn't like, so I stopped doing it when I discovered it. But it wasn't like yours. It wasn't that bad. This was just when I was skipping the sound, it would like cut out. And then like, it was something weird was happening on mine, but nothing major. This was me fucking with it anyway.
Yeah, basically the sound it makes is like the disc hitting something while it's spinning like...
Jesus.
And then it like... flips out, and every once in a while when I'm just playing, I'll hear it once.
Check it for popcorn and BBs. Did I tell you that story?
Uh-oh.
Oh my god, this Mexican family come to Best Buy to return their GameCube because it was broken,
mm-hmm.
right? This lady had like 30 kids, I swear to god. And she comes up and tells us, our GameCube's broken, I want a new one. Barely had the thing for like a week, I swear to god. So, we're supposed to, you know, give him a new cube, because, hey, this one broke. And we're shaking it, and it's rattling. She's all, here, see, something came loose. So we're looking at it. One of the techs walks up, he grabs it, he's shaking it. And he gets, you know, there's on the side of your cube, there's like the window for the fan exhaust?
Mm-hmm.
He turns it sideways so that he can see there, and shakes it to try to see if like a piece of the cube will fall up to that window. And he shakes it, and there's... like BBs from a BB gun and popcorn in there.
It's terrible.
She did not get a new GameCube that day.
No, I should say not.
Go fuck yourself. Have a nice day. And you know what sucks is I know they're gonna shake that shit out and come back and return it to when somebody else is working.
Oh yeah.
I couldn't believe it though. BBs and popcorn in your GameCube. Oh my god. Sorry, my little side story there. It's just popping right. My head. That's something that it's a two-disc game. A lot of people would like to know that. And I was really disappointed in the manual.
I didn't even read it.
It's not even worth trying to read. It was weak. And
I read it once to find out how to switch who you're playing.
Oh, that took me forever to figure out. I still don't remember. It has something to do with Z when you pause or something.
Yeah, when you're in the menu. And sometimes I press Z thinking I'm in the menu, forgetting that I have to be in the menu. Yeah. And then my unison attack goes off. I'm like, oh, I didn't want to do that.
Oh, I couldn't figure that out even.
It's...
You have like this crazy attack you can do with like all your people at the same time.
It's not all that crazy, first of all. Hmm. All you basically do is say, everybody do one.
Oh, okay.
It's not... It doesn't seem to really... cause a whole lot of extra damage unless you chain some of the abilities chain
that's
together.
What the book said was that you gotta figure out exactly what you're supposed to be using,
and then those you use yours and then the two do something together for add an attack.
See, it doesn't seem like they did a good job of making it easy on not easy, but even explaining it to
and me. Sometimes I figured it out. I gotta test it.
Hours into it trying to test the combat still. This is what I'm saying. We should have a handle on this, if this game used a more standard console RPG combat system, were you on the left, the enemy on the right, or whatever, and you said, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this, and you do this, it would be easy to do things like that.
Wouldn't be the same, though.
You're right.
I'm glad that it's different.
It's nice to play something different, but it seemed like bringing up the menu in this is such a hindrance compared to something like say, Dot Hack.
You can, however, and I've tested this before I did the show to find out, if you don't like the action aspect of the battle system, you can switch all your melee to straight-up attack, turn off their, say, don't use skills, do the same thing with the magic user.
You can even tell them which ones they can use.
Too. Right.
You don't have to let them use everything. You can right. turn it off. So I think it's pretty good about that.
And then you tell the magic users to stand still, don't move, and then don't use skills.
Oh.
And then when you go into the and put everybody on auto,
uh-huh.
then you can control the battle, who uses what skill when, and all the items and all of that directly from the menu, and then you're playing it much more like a standard RPG.
See, now, I would like that, except for that it seems like I don't need that. It seems like I only need me and the occasional cure. You know, like, I'm out there, and it's me doing all the damage. It's me who's out there fucking stuff up. And then, every now and again, I'll get cured. You know, the other guys, I have them set to do nothing if they can. I mean, not I don't have them just standing there. They are attacking if something gets close, you know, or, like, they'll attack whatever's blind. But they're not doing any real
that changes.
Damage. Oh, okay. It just seems like right now it's all about me who needs the occasional
the monsters and the enemies become they have a lot more HP later on.
Uh-huh.
And you need everybody attacking.
Okay, that's good to know. Because I mean, I'm not very far at all. So.
I have everybody attacking the same as me so I can get those monster combo numbers. Because their attacks count with mine.
Yeah, oh, okay, for the combo.
That's why I have a combo of 32 right now.
32. What's your record right now, Modem?
I think it's 25.
25? Damn you both. I've got like 15. Maybe 13.
But like I said, when I was at your stage, they die before I can get higher than 13.
That happens, yeah. Most of the time, as soon as I hit like the first part of it, they're dead. You know? A lot of the times, the battle's over and I'm standing there going, with my, what's it called? Sword Rain. Yeah, it's me doing it to thin air. So
yeah.
It's kind of cool, though, that like, your guy doesn't automatically like switch to the guy. Like you kill something and he does switch to target the next thing automatically, but if you're facing the wrong way and you do a move, your guy just doesn't automatically flip around and all of a sudden he's there. That's cool that like, you know, hey, you fucked up and used a move facing the wrong direction so you hit nothing.
Right.
I like that a lot because that reminds me of Grandia's system, which I really loved their combat system. You know, where, hey, the enemy's not there, you're not going to hit him. I'm like, you know, like the old Final Fantasies where he's somewhere over on the other side of the screen, but you hit him because you're just shooting over there anyway, you know? So I like that. It's quite more realistic.
Right.
I just wish giving us an action-oriented, like, the RPG end of it is standard RPG. Walk around town, buying shit, upgrading your shit, killing things.
Story.
The story, all that stuff. But the combat being, like, action is really cool, except for that it almost feels out of place to me. It almost feels like
It is cool,
but it almost feels out of place. Like, I'm cruising along, and I shouldn't have to pay this much attention to the fight, almost. Like if I just spaced out for a minute, I would die in the middle of a combat, because I would just be standing there, you know?
Like I said, try the different AI scripts.
Yeah, the one time I tried that, you know what I did?
Hmm.
I figured, hey, if I turn them all to manual control, I would be able to really control this fight. And you know what ended up happening? I got my ass handed to me because nobody did anything in the fight and I couldn't make them, you know, fast enough and I was playing Dot Hack. I was in the menu for, you know, 20 minutes trying to get anything to happen. My guys got awards, you know, or titles, you know how they get titles?
Right.
I got titles for not doing anything in a fight. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, those
gosh.
Are kind of fun when people get new titles and...
Yeah, that was kind of neat. Something else that people might like to know. Your guys get titles assigned to them. Now, what happens if you have a title assigned to you? Does that just up your whatever stat it says, or does that you?
I'm not sure it does anything.
It looks like it ups your stats.
Yeah,
at the bottom, when you're like hovering the cursor over a title, it'll have like HP.
Yeah.
HP, and I don't know if it. It doesn't look like it ups it instantly. I'm wondering if every time you get a level, it'll up those more.
See, that's what I was thinking. I thought that whatever title that you had assigned to your guy at the time that you leveled, he would get a bonus in whatever that title gave him. Like the
man, I'm oblivious. That's 30 hours in. I did not know that.
Because I was kind of lost in the combat system for so long. I spent a lot of time looking at that menu. You didn't even know you could cook out of combat. You know?
No, I didn't. So, oblivious.
there, I spent a lot of time with the menu trying to change, not only change the camera so that it didn't suck ass, but figure out how the combat worked and stuff. Right. So I spent a lot of time dicking around there, and I noticed, you change the title and it says like strength, dexterity, accuracy, hit points, TP, whatever, and it'll light up green if you get more than what you have, and then it'll go red if you get less than what you have.
So some titles will actually give you,
they give
take
you
away.
It seems like everything except for the first one. No, it doesn't seem like they take away. It seems that, like, because I'd set myself to the one that gave me more defense, then I would get, like, another title I could pick from. So I'd pick the one that, say, would give me more offense.
You can pick titles?
Yeah, dude. I already got, like, three or four. You can only have one at a time, though. So, like, depending on how you want to, like, build your guy, this is what I was trying to figure out. It's like, okay, if I want my guy to be nothing but, like, brute force, I'm going to go all strength and probably hit points, I guess. You know, so I would assign him the title, whichever one gave me the boost in strength and hit points, and my thinking was that if I leveled with that title on me, I would get a bonus for that. Then one of the guys got a title for not doing a damn thing in combat, and his intelligence and defense goes up. So I assign him, you know, like, say, a cleric, that title, until I get one that ups my magic. You know, or whatever the hell I get, TP, I guess, right?
Wow, so you could go around just trying to collect all the different titles, too.
I don't even know how. I mean, it seems like random how you get them. It just seems like you talk to somebody and, like, you get one sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes you just, you don't do a damn thing in combat. And then sometimes, like, the first one you get is combo newbie, the first time you do a combo, you know? But they gave you bonuses and stuff. So it's kind of cool. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff that I was trying to figure out in the first couple of hours here. And I'm glad you jumped in first so that you could tell me all this stuff that you've learned at 30 hours now that I know a lot of it at 6 hours, you know, plus what I've discovered on my own. So, but see, this is the problem, is they did such a poor job of explaining this in the manual and in the game itself that you just don't know. You just wouldn't pick up on it, you know, unless you...
You know, I think it's cool. I think it's cool if they say, hey, figure this shit out on your own.
Yeah,
that's what these kind of games are all about, is figuring shit out on your own.
I don't like it because you're gimped almost, right? Let's say you go the whole game assigning yourself the first title you get, which gives you no stat bonuses at all, and you never change it. By the time you're at the end of the game, and if it does up your hit points or strength or whatever the hell, if you change your title per level, by the end of the game, somebody that had his on a different thing is going to have, like, 500 more hit points than you. And so you're kind of gimped.
Well,
should they ask about it?
I didn't know anything about this title thing. I've cooked, like, 10 times in the entire 30 hours.
All my guys are master sandwich artists, man. They work at Subway.
And let me tell you that I whoop ass.
Yeah.
I'm not gimped.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know. That's good to know, because that's what I'm afraid of, is finding out, oh, I picked the wrong choice. Or, oh, I didn't know about this the whole game, so I suck at it. And now my progress is stopped. You know why this is such a big deal to me? It's because of games like Final Fantasy XI. Which is why I've been forced to basically quit playing. So, but anyway, that's a different story.
Right.
For another day. So... I don't know. I'm pretty pleased with this game.
I think it has some faults.
$50.
It has some faults, but it is a $50 game.
I think I'm gonna go with $45. I think it's worth $45. Did you want to assign it the monetary rating system?
I'm gonna go with $50, man. I'm loving this.
Yeah?
I'm glad I'm not, you know, like, making a sandwich and taking a nap during the battle. I'm loving it.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to go with 45 only because it does have some bad faults, you know. I don't have a problem with the story at all. It's
about
the camera and the lack of information.
I was a little worried.
And character development.
I was a little worried towards the beginning with the puzzles, because in the beginning they are easy and they are small. They're just tiny. They get a lot bigger and a lot more in depth later on, which is good.
Now, something else we haven't touched on that I just wanted to make sure that we mentioned: multiplayer.
Yeah, which is an awesome addition.
We didn't mention that, right?
Right.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I, like, blacked out there for a minute. We did talk about it.
You can set as many of the four that are in combat to manual that you want, and then have up to four people playing in your party. All the other players 2 through 4 can do is fight.
Yeah.
When you're on the world map, when you're doing the story, when you're doing the puzzles, they just sit around and do nothing. But you know, you could do that on some of the Final Fantasy games too.
Yeah, I know in Final Fantasy VI you could. I remember that.
Yeah, but it's still, there's a big difference between like your friends are actually controlling the characters and hitting the button to attack them, like them going through the menu. And
yeah, playing one round of a turn-based system.
yeah,
is a little boring.
Yeah, I get to hit A on the attack button now. You know, I get to pick attack. Yay!
Yeah, you get one round in a turn-based system, and it's not a whole lot of fun.
Unlike this, where it's like real time, and you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, think about how fast, like, leveling up would go by if you got, like, one or two friends and you're all controlling a character.
Yeah, and you guys could put together, like, the ultimate combo.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good addition.
And that would work out to be like Final Fantasy XI, where your friends are friggin' retarded and can't chain for shit. And they're not your friends, but your party. You know, right. Your friends are good at it, but your party of random jackasses you pick up suck. You know, at least it wouldn't be like that. They'd be sitting right next to you, and you could hit them until they learned. That was where the fun comes in, see? Kicking your friend's ass because he sucks at a game. So,
what's cool is this doesn't require friends, a la Crystal Chronicles.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
You know, Wolf beat the whole game by himself, and he says it was perfectly enjoyable.
Yeah? Single player, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
I imagine it's a lot more enjoyable.
That's what keeps me from buying four swords. Zelda, the new one, looks so cool to me. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it on the shelf, and I just can't bring myself to pay for it because I know that I'm going to be missing out because there's not four people sitting there. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't see myself doing all these puzzles, these multiplayer puzzles by myself being a whole lot of, you know, enjoyment.
Right.
You know, that's why I just don't even want to play that. You know, I just don't care. So that's too bad. You know, they're trying to force multiplayer down our throats, which just isn't working. I don't think. It's preventing sales. I don't have Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, even though it looked like a pretty cool game. I don't have, you know, Legend of Zelda Four Swords. It looked like a pretty cool game, but I don't have people that I can have here at, you know, midnight to play with me for just a couple hours, and then, you know, hey, I want to be left alone. Fuck off. Thanks for playing. You know, you can't do that, you know? So, I don't know. I suppose if you have a bunch of kids at your house, that'd be like the shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because when the kids that are playing this now that are young and have, like, friends over all the time, or they got, like, two, you know, three brothers and sisters or whatever, they're going to grow up, and that's what they're going to see, and they're going to go, oh, my God, there's nothing like it, you know? And that's just going to be awesome for them, and I'm going to be like, man, I missed out, you know? That sucks. Wee! So, whatever. Alright, you guys want to talk about some movies?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm down.
Alright, well, I think you watched most of the movies. I watched two ridiculous movies this week. That was it. Along Came Polly and 51st Base.
I don't know
what the hell was wrong with my renting that. Well, no. Like
51st Dates? I like it.
51st Dates has got Adam Sandler and...
Drew Barrymore
in it. And
those are
the
two most mentionable.
Yeah. Screw everybody else. This movie was just, you know, she has some kind of... She was in a car accident, and every day that she wakes up, it's like she thinks it was the day that she got in the car accident. It's like
right.
A year later, and she still has no idea.
When she goes to sleep, her memory is completely wiped for what happened the day before.
Yeah, and it happens to be on, like, her dad's birthday or some shit, so, like, every day he's gonna, like, relive his birthday.
Yeah.
Act all surprised, and I thought it was pretty fun.
Watch
know?
The Sixth Sense
every day. Oh my God, can you believe that? Oh. it was pretty funny. I think they had a lot of good jokes. I mean, that right there opens itself to a world of jokes that you can do. If the guy doesn't remember, you know, like, for the movie, if somebody doesn't remember every day, you know, so that opens up for a lot of jokes that I haven't seen in every movie before. So that was kind of neat. I mean, I did laugh. I enjoyed my way through, but the whole sappy love story thing just isn't my cup of tea. You know, it's not like what I watch movies, so I don't go out looking for that kind of stuff. So I was into it for the comedy, and it was pretty funny, you know. It ended on a happy note. It was not what a lot of people expected. A lot of people thought the ending was going to be different. It was alright. I see people, I could see people renting this with their girlfriends, you know, a lot, and thinking it was all sweet, but not, for a single 25-year-old male sitting in his house by himself, I was rather displeased. I didn't laugh that much. And the other one, Along Came Polly, actually was pretty funny. That had a lot of good jokes.
I think it looked good. I didn't see it, but I think it looks good.
The problem with it was, is I've seen all those jokes before. Yeah. It just seemed like everything had been done before, and it wasn't that great. So, I don't know. This has got Ben Stiller and that chick from Friends.
Yeah, the Jennifer one that plays Aniston. Rachel. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It's got them two in it. Ben Stiller plays, you know, this, what is he? He's an insurance guy or something? He's a
I don't know.
Risk management or risk assessment or something like that. He's like an insurance guy or something. So he, like, when what happens is he gets married to some chick who ends up cheating on him, like on their honeymoon or something.
Right.
Like right in like the first 5 minutes, this is what happens. And then so he runs into Holly, which is Rachel, whatever her name is, Jennifer Aniston.
Right.
Who he knew from school. And he's got a really funny friend who's like, who does some dumb shit. He's just like a klutz and he's kind of worthless. And it was pretty funny. There was a lot of good stuff in it, but it was just a lot of old, tired jokes that I'd seen before, it seemed like.
Right.
So again, I mean, both of these, I think, are barely worth renting. I mean, you gotta be, like, there's nothing else in the video store. They're not bad stores. I'll give them that, and that's all I'm gonna give them both. I didn't care that much at all. Did you watch anything this week?
This week? No.
No? Alright, Modem. You've got three good movies on there, I think.
I watched Godsend, iRobot, and Dodgeball.
I actually don't know what most of those are. I don't know what Godsend is.
See, Godsend is this really bad movie where basically, right, there's this guy and his wife, and basically they have this kid, and he's like 8 or 9 or something. And he's like, he walks out into the middle of the street and he gets hit by a car and he's dead. And then Robert De Niro is this like famous doctor and he approaches him and he's like, look, you want your son back? And they're like, that's not funny. And he's like, no, I'll clone him. And they're like, what the hell, that's illegal. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, we'll do that. So then they clone the kid and then it skips forward until like a couple days before he died. And everything's been fine, and then Robert De Niro's like, okay, look, some weird stuff might be happening when he lives past his death date.
Wait. What happened? The kid died.
Right? Died. Robert De Niro's this, like, famous doctor.
Okay, I followed all that, but what I didn't follow was the part where it goes back in time?
No.
He clones the kid.
Okay.
And then it skips forward to a couple of the days.
Yeah, and then it skips forward until, like, 3 days before his, like, okay.
Before
the kid is old enough that he would have died.
I got it now. Okay, that's where I was lost. Okay, I got it.
But if he died, like, 2 days after his birthday.
I feel
you. So then, you know, he turned that age again, and then it's, like, you know, a couple days until, you get it.
I got it now.
Okay.
I got it now.
So, basically, Robert De Niro's like, okay, look, he might start having some nightmares once he passes the age he would have been when he died.
This sounds really good so far.
Well, it's not because it's really, it's cheesy almost. Like, the kid just starts going crazy,
and
he starts seeing, like, these ghosts, and he starts killing, like, he killed the kid. And then the mom's freaking out, and then the dad's, like, accusing the doctor of playing God.
Huh.
It was just not good. It was like, that was all I remember from it, because I was just so not liking it that I blocked most of it out.
That's too bad. It sounds like it could have been awesome.
It's just, it was trying too hard to be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, like, this church catches on fire, and there's, like, all this weird symbolism going on that's, like, blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
That they're trying, you know, to make it not obvious that Robert De Niro's playing God.
Yeah.
And there's some kid, like, burned his school down, and for some reason, the clone kid is, like, having these visions of the kid that burned the school down.
Huh.
It never explains anything.
Yeah, that's pretty weak.
It was just dumb.
That sucks. That sounds like it could have been awesome, though. Because that's, like, a good idea for a movie.
They tried too hard, and it just came out really cheesy.
That sucks. And iRobot, you told me what it was just yesterday, and I already forgot what it was about.
Basically, it's in the future, and this company's making robots, and they're everywhere. And there's, like, 3 laws. And one of them's, like, can't harm humans. And then The second one was like, shit, I forgot. The second one was like, if, you, okay, you cannot, you have to listen to the human and obey what they say unless the command has to do with harming another human.
Uh-huh, so like a...
And the, like they can't be commanded to kill somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the third one was, if there's human trouble, you have to assist them. So, like, if somebody's, like, about to die, you have to try and protect them. So, basically, those robots are, like, everywhere. And it's just, like, an everyday thing. Nobody, you know, thinks twice about it. And Will Smith is this detective who, for some reason, doesn't like robots. And you don't really know why. And I don't want to really spoil anything.
Yeah.
One of his friends, a doctor who works on robots and, like, helps design them and stuff, has committed suicide. And he's just jumped out of his office down, like, a couple floors to the... And he smashed it on the floor. And he left this little circular thing which projects a hologram of him. And he's, like, he was, like, specifically requesting to talk to Will Smith. Well, then, Will Smith is in the room where the doctor supposedly jumped from, and there's a robot in there who attacks him and takes off running. And everybody's like, oh, dude, you're full of shit. Robots can't attack people.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been a case in the entire world, ever since robots were made, of a robot causing any harm to humans. And he's like, oh, nobody's listening to me, no. And there's plenty of the Will Smith one-liners throughout this.
Oh, see, that's what ruined Men in Black 2 for me. Like, everything he said was a one-liner.
Yeah.
Like, they just tried so hard to make it, like, have all these great quotes that the whole movie was one-liners that, you know, were supposed to be great. But they weren't because, like, every line was that.
Right.
Yeah, so there's a lot of that which everybody was worried about. And then, so he tracks down this robot and they, like, arrest him. And he starts talking about how he dreams and he calls the doctor that was killed his father. And, robots aren't supposed to be able to do this. And so then the company that made the robot comes in and tells them, you know, this is bullshit. A robot can't attack people. They make everybody sign a gag order, and then they take the robot. And then Will Smith is like, you know, something's weird going on here. And that just, everything else is pretty much spoilers.
Okay.
I don't want to ruin anything, but it wasn't as bad as I thought. But it wasn't the greatest movie ever. I wouldn't pay to go see it in the theaters. I might rent it if you're looking for some action. And, yeah, so basically, yeah, Will Smith's trying to figure out what's going on. And then this new line of robots that are coming out, like better ones, start attacking him. And nobody's believing him.
That's weird.
So... And then the rest is basically story point.
Yeah.
Huh. I've heard, I never read the book. I didn't even know there was a book.
Me neither.
But I heard that Will Smith's character is not in it at all. And he's the main character in the movie.
Really?
Like, he's just not in it.
That is so weird. Huh. I don't know. It sounds like barely worth a rental. Like, I can see me renting it only because there's going to be nothing else to rent. Like, the crap I rented today, Hellboy?
No bad.
I don't know. I can't remember. Was it supposed to be good or bad?
It's supposed to be good.
Okay. I know we talked about it before, but I didn't. Somebody else did on the show. I can't remember what they said now. It was because there were so many other bad movies.
I think it was supposed to be okay.
Really? Okay.
It was supposed to be good. I thought it was terrible.
Okay. Then okay. That's what I'm looking for. What happened? Not what was it supposed to be, but what happened? Did it? So it sucked.
Well, everybody else seemed to like it.
Oh. Okay.
Did you see it?
No, I rented it today. I went to go rent Mario Kart so we could race today, and they didn't have it, and there was nothing else worth renting. So I rented Hellboy and some crap. I don't even know what the hell it is. It's got, thank God it's got their names on the side. Owen Wilson in it. It's called The Bounce, The Big Bounce. Some kind of...
The Big
Bounce. I've never heard of it.
Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that guy, and Owen Wilson, the guy from Shanghai Noon, the white guy with the pinched nose, yeah. Who, I love that guy. He's hilarious. So that's why I rented it. I don't know what it's about. Something about they're on vacation, they go to the beach or some crap, and he's involved in theft. I don't know what happens. I
heard that was surprisingly bad.
It probably is.
I was really looking forward to seeing it because I really like a lot of the stuff Morgan Freeman's in it.
Yeah.
But I just heard it bad.
I'm sure it sucks because there was like 10 copies of Blockbuster, you know? You can kind of tell how big it is depending on how many are usually there. You're like a whole wall of something that's usually pretty good. And there was like not very many of these and there was just nothing else and I thought, well, crap, I might as well get it anyway. And Dodgeball, how was that?
Dodgeball was surprisingly funny.
I've heard it's so cheesy, it's funny.
It really is. It's like a Dumb and Dumber funny.
Which I like from time to time. Really cheesy humor can be good.
It's not as dumb funny as it is like, okay, Ben Stiller's in it. And like, he's one of these guys who like used to weigh like 800 pounds, but then he lost all this weight, and now he's like, he's one of those guys that walks around like he's a zombie or a mummy or something. You know what I'm talking about? He's got muscle roll all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it's just funny because of how cheesy it is. But I thought it was hysterical, just some of the stuff that was going on. And it's about, there's this, like, small gym that this guy runs, and he's got, like, no money, and he knows everybody that goes to the gym personally, and he hasn't paid his taxes or something, and so he's got to come up with, like, $50,000, like, really fast.
Yeah.
And they have no idea how to do it. And yeah. It's funny because they decide to have a car wash, and so then it cuts to all these, like, chicks in bikinis washing these cars, and everybody's like, oh, that's awesome. And then it, like, pans over, and it was just a bunch of high school girls having the car wash, and they're all standing there with, like, buckets of soap and water, and they're like, oh, what the hell? Same day. They decided to play in this dodgeball tournament, and it was cheesy funny, but I thought it was pretty funny. It's definitely worth the rental.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like something that's like super original and hilarious, but I bet it's got like some. It's worth a couple of laughs for a rental.
Yeah, it totally is. Ben Stiller's his character in it was hilarious. It's like he's really stupid. And he doesn't know he's stupid.
God, he's never played that character before.
Zoolander!
But, yeah, it's definitely worth a rental if you're just, like, looking to laugh at something dumb. But I wouldn't pay to see it in theaters.
Huh. I'm probably going to have to rent that one. I don't know about the rest of them, though.
The other ones weren't that good.
Yeah.
You want a Will Smith action flick?
I'm sick of Will Smith. I'm actually kind of sick of Ben Stiller myself. So, I don't know. You've also got some TV shows, and I just noticed you've got one on your list, The Assistant.
Yeah.
Is this
Andy Dick?
I can't stand that show. I actually watched two
episodes. I can't stand that guy.
Yeah, he's fucking annoying. And he's a dick on the show, on this one.
It's hilarious, dude. He refers to all the kids as bitches and stuff.
Yeah.
I was rolling.
I don't know. I must have liked enough to watch the second episode of it just to see how mean he is, really. Just because he does some messed up stuff with these people.
But what's funny is he's, like, totally not even like that. Like, you can tell that they're just, like, pulling shit on these kids just to make the show funny.
Yeah.
Like, in the third one, like, the butler tells them that it's Andy Dick's birthday and they gotta organize this big party. So all the kids, they go shopping, they set up, you know, they get the birthday cake, they rent the restaurant, they invite all these people, right? All these people show up, and Andy Dick's like, no, it's not my birthday.
Oh.
And then he's talking to me, like, see, it does this flashback, which is obviously, like, staged.
Yeah.
Then him telling his butler that it's Andy Garcia's birthday, and write it down in his little, like, notebook. And so he's like, then he's yelling at all the kids for listening to the butler, and he starts calling them stupid and stuff. I was just rolling. It was funny.
I don't know. I didn't seem to care to. It was more that I was just into it to see the abuse. It's just reality TV. You know, they've got all these people staying on cots in Andy Dick's mansion in his garage. You know?
Not like that.
And it's just like, well, the look on their face when they realized where they were staying all together in a garage, you know, was just like, oh my god. And I don't know, it just wasn't, I just, don't know, it didn't seem
I cannot stand reality TV.
See, that's
I think it's the scourge of this nation.
It sucks ass, but at least this one has the fact that he's just an asshole to him going for it. But it's a waste of time. I don't like watching it. Like, as opposed to something like The Last Comic Standing, I love watching that, just because it's funny. You know, there's good, real, actual comedy there, so I like watching that.
That's good.
You know, I know you're watching it, so...
But it's still got all that, we're all living in a house, and...
Yeah, I know, exactly. There's the scary alliance and the people ganging up on people and whatnot. All that's crap. I really like watching the comedy of it. I mean, I can care less about who gets yanked.
These shows are designed specifically to bring out the worst in people.
It is, too.
And showcase it for comedy.
It gets me, because especially on that goddamn Last Comic Standing one, that stupid chick she can't lose. The Italian chick?
I hate her with so much passion.
Me too. I can't stand that bitch, and I can't believe she fucking beat the guys that she's beat to get that far so far. And I'm like, this is just retarded.
The really loudmouth guy.
What's his name? The guy who says he looks like Fred Flintstone and Mel Gibson had a kid.
He was 10 times funnier than her.
Hell yeah! And then even the scary guy, the big Neanderthal guy.
I like his one-liners more than the stupid Italian
shit. Me too. That guy was hilarious. It's just, oh man, it's like they're screwing up. It's like such all for show that it's obvious now.
The only good female comic on there was the older one, the Kathleen Madigan or whatever.
Yeah, isn't she still there?
Yeah, she still is.
Yeah.
I hate the Italian shit. There's no way she should have gotten that far.
No, and she can't lose. She wins like every single thing there is. No matter how bad she is, she wins.
Not even funny.
It's weak.
Half of us are in their witness protection program. Yeah. I'm like, that's stupid. You're all good.
And she won that TV thing too. It's so stupid. It's so rigged.
I know,
but this what bothers me is it's so obvious this time. Because you know who's funny and you know who sucks. And you know who I'm really liking now? Like, I've got a pick out of who's left, obviously, is the one guy that always tells the younger jokes, like the video game jokes. That, I can't think of his name. The little
guy who's like really hyper when he gets to the stage.
Yeah.
And he's awesome.
Yeah, that guy. I really hope that he grinds that bitch into the stage. I can't stand her. And the worst part is, I know she's gonna win.
Yeah.
I know she is. She can do no wrong.
I hope he kicks her ass. So, did you hear him tell that joke about the wrapping paper tube?
Uh-uh. Oh, wait. Yeah. During Christmas, beating up your
hardcore tube.
Yeah.
How real is that? See, did you just see everybody in the audience, like, turn their...
They could identify with
it. I did that, too.
Exactly. You know, his stuff is really, really funny, because people can identify with it. They all did it. Mm-hmm. You know, and people really enjoy it. And yet, he's, like, barely scraping by, it seems like.
Because everybody in the audience, none of them are really Italian, but somehow she keeps winning.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and she tells the same jokes. She hasn't had that many original ones. This guy, every time, it seems like I hear something different.
I don't think I've heard him tell the same joke more than... I don't even think I've heard him tell the same joke twice.
I don't think I have either. I really don't. That
always opens with that, "Show me what you're in the witness protection program."
Yep, every single time.
Without fail.
It drives me nuts. It sucks. It's horrible, and it makes me so mad. And they really present this, "Oh yeah, you get to vote. It's all real." You know, it's just like, yeah, my ass. You guys suck. And he barely stayed on. When they had the three of them up there, that one guy barely made it.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is such a load of shit. Hey, I'm getting pissed off at that. What the hell is this other one, Joe Schmo?
Basically, it's a reality show.
Oh, God.
About a reality show that's not real. they found this dude and this chick on the street, and they're like, "Hey, you want to be on a reality show?" And they're like, "Oh, yeah." And then they hired a bunch of actors to play as the other contestants.
Huh.
And then, so they think everything's real, but basically it's just the one guy and the one girl.
That's weird.
Well.
But is it good? You wrote it down, so.
I've been watching it. It's funny to see the stuff that they do. And then this guy's like, "Oh, I can't believe she'd do that." And then the actress is like, "I'm nothing like that in real life." And the guy thinks it's so real. And it's just complete bullshit.
Huh.
It's not great. Like, if it was gone, I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah.
But, basically the only reality show I've been watching is The Last Comic Standing.
I sure download a lot of TV, and most of it doesn't make it past the first 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, particularly if it's the new reality show, and it's like, once they say that, I'm like, deleted. Yeah, that's it. It's gone. You know, I can't stand most of this crap. Even that casino one, I made it through one episode and was like, fuck this show.
It's that's the most rigged thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's, they all suck. I swear to God, TV's so fucking worthless. There's like maybe 5 or 6 shows I think that are really worth watching. None of them are on right now. Summertime. You know?
I still can't believe that you guys don't like The Assistant.
I haven't even seen it. Yeah, I don't know.
I can't stand reality TV to begin with. And Andy Dick is just kind of way too far off the top.
He's such an ass though. Like, this black chick got cut in the first episode, and then the third one he brought her back and just cut her again. Like,
I mean, that's like the only reason I think that people are watching, just because he's such a dick. But there's like, there's nothing else there. It's like, I'm not even laughing when he's mean to him. I'm more like, oh my god. Like, when I'm laughing is when they're talking shit behind his back and they got it on tape. And that guy's like, oh, fuck him, he can go fuck himself, you know, and it's just like, oh, no, he's got him on tape, he's, you know, and they show, you know, he sees that, you know, and it's just, it's a waste of time, it's just not even worth watching. But some good stuff, I noticed next on your list, you've got Dead Like Me written down.
Yeah, I just finished watching the first season, and the episodes that are out from the second season.
See, this I like a lot. This is good shit, here, this is so funny. Yeah, it's on Showtime? Is that, or HBO?
Showtime.
Showtime, yeah, okay. Yeah, because it doesn't have that right. HBO logo. It's Showtime, yeah. And this is, it's like this 18-year-old chick that, you know, lived at home with, like, a family that was, like, falling apart, you know, basically. Like, her sister doesn't talk to anybody and she's quiet. And her sister's hella young, like 10 or something. And her parents don't get along, you know. Her mom is like this really high-strung, crazy lady, and her father's like sleeping with students because he's a teacher and shit, like a professor though.
Right.
And anyway,
that's good.
She, yeah.
Like kindergarten or something.
But yeah, she dies in the first episode.
By a toilet seat.
By a toilet seat from outer space. like what was it? One of the things
coming. Your space station was like falling apart and pieces of it were landing on the Earth, and she's standing there on her lunch break from her first day at work, and she looks up, and just this thing's, like, flying at her, and she talks about, she's like, you know, most people think and say that their life flashes before their eyes, right before they die, but usually, you can only get out, and then she goes, oh, shit, and you just see this big explosion where she was standing.
It really is funny. It's really good. There's one season's out. The second season started 2 days ago. And it's really fun. It really is. I don't know why. It's just, it's another good idea that you haven't seen before. She dies, and what happens is she's now a Grim Reaper. So they explain it later on, like in a couple episodes later, as like, people die, and there's these Grim Reapers that are out in the real world, right? Just like you and me, walking around, that know these people are gonna die at this time and place. They've gotta go get their soul. They just have to touch them, and they have their soul. So the Grim Reapers have to, you know, crawl all over the city, you know, and get somebody's soul for the day. And there's like, the whole thing of it is there's a certain amount of souls that you have to reap before your work is done, before you can rest.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last person that you reap becomes the new Reaper. But not everybody obviously gets picked because, you know, you got to, you know, however many souls to reap. So most people don't have to deal with it.
Right.
Turns out she had to deal with it, so now she's like hangs out with this like group of reapers that get together every morning, and the show's always the same. It's like they're at this place for food, they sit around, they eat. There's like a leader guy who basically hands out these little yellow post-it notes to him with a name, or a first initial and a last name, and a place, and a time of death, yeah. So it's like, and it's funny as shit because they go there and they gotta figure out who that person is. They only have like, you know, C. Smith written down. And they're like, okay, on the corner, or at Best Buy, you know, at 5:06 p.m. So then they're hanging out at, you know, Best Buy or wherever the hell they are, and they're like, listening to people's conversations, waiting for them to say their name. So once they know who it is, they just walk up and touch them and got their soul. And it's always some awesome, ridiculous way of dying. You know, like people, like rarely do you see, I mean, I think they've done
a heart attack or something.
Yeah, something stupid, you know. It's always something just friggin' hilarious. You know, like some guy, like he gets ate by a bear or something, you know. Like, it's always something hella funny like that. It's just funny to watch. And then she like goes back to her home a couple times. She tries to, like, tell her family that she's still alive, but mm-hmm. she looks different in the real world now, right? Like, she appears different.
Right.
And it's funny because, like, they kind of, she can't, like, she forgets. Like, it's weird. Like, when you go to, your family and try to bring up memories and stuff, like, you can't get it out. You can't say it. Like, it just doesn't happen. So it's really weird. And, like, her sister is a tweaker. Her little sister's a friggin' weirdo, and she's, like, all messed up in the head now because her older sister died, and her family's falling apart. And it's a pretty good show, though.
The situations that they're put in are just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it just raises, like, a lot of good questions. I mean, it's one of those shows that are, like, funny enough to make you laugh, have enough drama in it to make you, like, wonder what's going to happen in the next episode.
Yeah.
And but each episode stands alone good.
Exactly. You don't have to follow them all. I mean, you can just turn on, and you're entertained while you're watching it. And that's what I look for. It's just something I can turn on before I pass out at night, every day. You know, I don't care what it is. I download all kinds of weird crap, watch it, and fall asleep to it. But something like this, I actually, like, want to try to stay awake for.
Right.
You know, it's really a good show. I was impressed with it. It was a good idea. It's got some just damn funny stuff in it, too, you know.
The one thing that I'm mad about is they never explained what happened to that chick with the curly hair. The Reaper that was...
I know!
I liked her, and I didn't like the blonde.
I didn't either, but I'm starting to like her more.
Yeah, but...
I mean, she's just hot, for one.
Yeah, but and was she hella annoying or what?
Yeah, at first. Oh, my God. But
they never explained, because remember at the end of that one episode where she did, I don't want to spoil it, but disappear.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he had that post-it note on his door, and it said what happened to her, and then it faded out, and it's never said anything.
I've talked to other people that have watched it, too, and everybody brings up the same thing. What happened to that girl? And kind of what everybody comes up with or agrees on is at some point they're going to have to explain it.
They might be waiting for something.
You know, maybe it's part of the story, and maybe next season something will happen, you know, where do you get to see what happened? You know, basically, like, one of the Grim Reapers didn't live. Right, they, like, passed on, like, kind of before their time, though. Yeah.
They weren't supposed to.
Yeah, yeah, she, like, broke the rules and shit. It's weird because, like, they bring up God and stuff, but, like, almost never, for once. So you don't have to worry about, like, being preached to. But every now and again, they, like, kind of hint at, like, this higher power and this God thing and whatever, you know. And it's just damn funny. The situations are just ridiculous. Like, because how do you get into... Like, okay, in the new season, there's one where they have to, like, go to a little girl's birthday party.
Oh, God. Where they're, he's dressed up as a clown.
Yeah, so he, like, gets in there and he pretends to be the clown.
He's giving all the kids the balloons that are shaped like dicks.
Yeah, so look, it's a bunny rabbit. It's like this monster dick that he made out of one of those long balloons, you know?
And the dad's like, this is not a puppy.
This is not, yeah. It's so funny. And they all have, like, a good person, like, their own personality, each Reaper, you know?
Right.
Like, there's that girl who's got all that. I died at a young age. Why didn't I get to, you know, have a boyfriend and drive a car and do all this shit with my life? And then there's the fucking drug addict dude is great.
He's hilarious.
He's awesome. He's just like a junkie, you know? But he's a Reaper, you know?
That episode when he was like, he had the cocaine in his ass, and the little thing
popped. That was so funny.
And everybody's like, are you high? And he's like,
I was dying.
And then you got the blonde chick who's blown everybody.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I was this famous actress. Oh, I blew him before. He was playing blackjack and I was sucking the wrong guy's dick under the table.
Yeah, every time they talk about somebody, she's like, yeah, I blew him.
It's so
I gave him a hand job. I gave him a hand job in the car once.
Yeah.
You have to keep bringing stuff up.
It's hilarious, though. It's really funny. I mean, they really have some good character depth, you know. I just wish they would talk about, like, the main guy a little bit more. Rube.
The Yoda guy.
You know, yeah, he's all, like, yeah. Just they don't say much.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah, he really... A lot of the stuff he says, though, is, like, pretty deep.
Yeah, I mean, like, he just drops some knowledge on you every now and again, you know, just wham, there it is. Oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, but they haven't said what happened to him. Like, that one episode where he got that envelope back.
Uh-huh.
And it was, like, it has the money in it. And it...
See?
You remember that?
That kind of.
he,
You just watched it, and I watched this like a year ago, so.
He went to the post office to get, I don't know what the hell he was doing there, but they gave him some letter that he tried to send to somebody 80 years ago, and it had money in it, and a note said, "This is for your mother," and it never said what that was.
Huh.
They really haven't talked about his life hardly at all.
That's gonna be neat, though, when they do, you know? I mean, that's just going to keep people watching longer. It's probably like one of the few of what we mentioned today. That's the only one I really think that's worth watching. I mean, fuck reality TV.
I want to know what happened with his life, or what happened with his life.
Yeah, that's cool.
His, and what happened to the one of the original chick.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. I mean, they keep you involved in the overall story, yet still building tons of character stuff in each individual episode, and there's still, like, bigger stuff going on. So they, you know, and it's just so damn funny. The ridiculous situations sometimes are just hilarious in and of themselves. And it's worthy of some praise, I think. It's a good show.
The episode with the old guy who was walking around naked all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's like, "Your balls are huge."
Yeah. They're like, "Oh, my God. Dude, you're scaring the kid. Get back in the pool." So funny.
And he got out of the pool, and the kid's, like, looking at him, and he's like, "What? It's just balls."
Yeah. He saw they're just balls. So funny. Oh, my God. So, that's a good show. Worthy of praise. Ours is not, and we're out of time, though. We went on way too long today.
Over 2 hours.
Yeah. So we're done.
Later.
You got anything to say?
I don't think so.
Me neither. I'm all talked out. I want to play some games. It's 8:10 already.
Holy shit.
I know.
All right.
All right.
Peace.
Peace out.